please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program, episode 35M of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. We welcome you in on a Thursday here. You listen to this on a Sunday or a Monday. Maybe you start your work week with us on your commute on a Monday morning as this drops on a Sunday night. But we record it on a Thursday here late in the week. And on a beautiful sunny day here in sunny Southern California, we welcome you in where traffic was high and the energy was low. And then I was reminded of the old Mike Binder bit. I think Mike Binder's gone bananas. I think he's gone down the. I believe he supported RFK Jr. at some point. I think Mike Binder did. And if I'm disparaging Mike Binder, I apologize. But I want to say he was at one of the live shows that was for RFK.
Sounds familiar.
I've got confirmation, Garen.
You said RFK.
I think it was the one with Corolla and Tim Dillon. Does not begin with an H. Tim Dillon.
Okay. There are there are several looks like Instagram posts from Robert Kennedy Jr. thanking his great friend Mike Binder.
Is it not Mike Binder?
Binder, I don't know.
I've never known.
It doesn't have the.
Isn't it Binder?
Yeah, Binder.
That could be Binder or Binder.
Did you say Binder?
I thought you said Bender.
And no. That's what
no. You said Binder, which I assume
it's Binder,
you
Mike
know.
Binder.
Yeah, you know him. Right?
Yeah, he's a comedian.
Oh, I thought you said Binder.
No, I said Binder. He's out of Michigan originally.
Oh, that guy.
And didn't he have that? He made a couple of movies.
Yeah, Coupe de Ville.
He directed them and started them.
And then Ray Coupe de Ville was one of them, if I'm not mistaken, where it was the drive down from Michigan to Florida in a Coupe de Ville. And then there was one other one that he did. But he used to do the same shitty one-nighters that I did throughout Michigan, working for John Yoder. And then he moved here and started making movies, and then just kind of, I don't know, maybe I had enough money from those movies to not have to do anything. I don't know.
Did he do? I feel like he made a movie with Kevin Costner at some point. Am I crazy? Is that something?
He may have.
The Upside of Anger?
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
He wrote that one, yeah.
And
who's in that?
Is there one with Paul Reiser as well? That might be Coupe de Ville.
Joan Allen and Kevin Costner are in The Upside of Anger.
Okay.
There you go.
He wrote and directed that.
Yeah.
And then he wrote and directed Rain Over Me.
Yeah, I remember that. Is Adam Sandler in that?
Yeah, Adam Sandler and Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
And Jada Pinkett Smith.
Is Coupe de Ville not him, Garen? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
No, I don't know. I was just looking at his top four. Yeah, Coupe de Ville is him.
Who's in Coupe de Ville? Is it Peter Falk?
That
Paul Reiser? Alan Arkin.
Patrick Dempsey. Daniel Stern.
What? What movie am I thinking?
Annabeth Gish. Alan Arkin.
It is Alan. Yeah, he's the dad.
I don't see Paul Reiser.
It is not Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser's in another road trip with a dad movie.
Indian Summer. Oh, wait, that's Kevin Pollak, isn't it?
Indian Summer is Kevin Pollak, and who else?
Alan Arkin, Matt Craven, Diane Lane.
Yeah.
Wait, did Matt Binder do that, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Was that his first?
Coupe de Ville was his first, I believe.
And then Indian Summer?
There was one between them that I haven't heard of.
What was that called?
Crossing the Bridge?
Yeah, I don't remember that one either.
I feel like The Upside of Anger was, like, nominated for it. Like, didn't Joan Allen get nominated for Oscar for that?
She's always very good.
Yeah. Or like it was talked. It was in that conversation. I can't remember.
If you would have told me that The Upside of Anger was the story of us and vice versa, I would 100% believe you.
Wait, what's the story of us?
Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
That's
a whole classic movie.
5 wins and 13 nominations.
So he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Anyway yeah, he supported RFK Jr. And might be a little whack. But he had a joke. I was reminded of it here on Moore Park of The guys are out there surveying the street to find out what's causing traffic. It turns out the number one cause is the guy out there surveying the road to find out what's causing traffic. Mm-hmm. That's the old Mike Binder joke. And that's what was happening out here today as I arrived. And, oh, good, I'm here. And then traffic is all backed up. And it took me forever to cross over to park in front of our building. Mm-hmm. That's why we had to go down that Mike Binder path. Yeah. John Yoder, who was the booker that I mentioned earlier, who used to book a bunch of one-nighters and clubs throughout Michigan and Ohio and Wisconsin and Illinois. I believe the year that it may be the year that Mike Binder was nominated for an Oscar, said to Steve Iatt and I at his office one day, "Hey, whatever happened to Mike Binder? We should get Mike Binder on the phone. You think Mike Binder wants to do Silver Springs, John? You think he's in on Traverse City?"
That's so funny.
Yeah, John. That's all that said. John Yoder was very, very good to me, and I am very grateful that he threw me all the work that he did in the late '80s and early '90s. Very, very, very. And late '90s, he gave me a lot of work.
Maybe Mike Binder feels the same way. Very grateful.
I would imagine that he probably is. I mean, it was he gave a lot of work to guys.
Yeah,
and. Some not worthy of the work, and then others that may have been way above the quality of the gig.
Yeah,
and then some that, like me, that it was the perfect rise to getting better. You know, and you know, you middle at some, then you start headlining at others, then you start headlining the better clubs, and then you get to headline the clubs that are better than those. Like, so John was a good. I don't want to use the word stepping stone. That seems unfair. He books Dr. Grins in Grand Rapids still. I think that, or he booked something in Grand Rapids, which is still a really good club.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at the lineup, it's good comics. Hmm. Then if you look at his one-nighters, it's the guys from the, like what used to be me, where, you know, it's comedy night.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're going to get. You might get lucky and get somebody funny, and you might get a guy like, oh, boy.
Hmm.
And that's the nature of one-nighters. That's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the beast.
But what's the number of the beast?
666.
Oh, that's a human number.
Yes.
What the hell?
Or it is a human number. It goes right into the music right there. At least the Iron Maiden song does. Mm-hmm. Who they've just announced their 2020. Everybody's announcing their 2025 tours, summer tours now. You know, the premise is they want to announce early so that you give your money to them.
Right.
That's the premise behind that. And then there's been rumors. You know, in the world, it's a big deal in the Eddie Trunk world. Where, you know, that's a small, heavy, you know, hard rock world.
Yeah.
But he and others in it act like it is the entire nation's talking about it.
Right.
So according to Eddie Trunk, the entire nation is on pins and needles. When will AC/DC announce their tour? You would think that it's 1989, mm-hmm. and that AC/DC is reuniting, and here we go.
Mm.
Again, that world will be interested, but it's not a... You know, hey, let's all keep refreshing our computers to see if this announcement's coming.
Yeah.
But in that world, you think it would be. And then some other one, December 3rd, some other classic rock person is going to announce their tour. And I don't have a clue who that would be. But according to him, it's a big one.
Oh.
I don't know.
But that you have to take that with a Eddie Trunk size grain of salt.
Yeah. But who? I'm curious as to... I mean, is it Bon Jovi? And if it is, nobody cares. He doesn't sound good.
I mean, that's
it, though, right?
That wouldn't surprise me, although it's not, Sambor is not involved anymore, so Ooh. It's not really a reunion. It's just like, hey, we're touring again. He made an album. Maybe he thinks he can get his voice
he
to
can't.
A point where...
He can't. He sounds horrible.
Well, he thought he could record an album and did it, and it didn't sound good, but if he thinks that's... passable, then maybe.
Well, he just sang on a show somewhere.
Oh, he did,
and it was awful.
Yeesh.
Yeah, he sang on something. I forget where he showed up. Was it American Idol or something? Uh-huh. He showed up somewhere and was just awful.
Yeah.
Also, to record in the studio, as you know, they got some studio tricks they could use.
And that's the problem. Even with the tricks, I mean, the thing is,
right?
It just didn't sound like him. It was bad, but it was also like so over manipulated to try to make it. Like sound like try to lift it up from wherever it was in reality.
Yeah,
but it sounded almost like a robot.
It's not like Cher on I Believe, which was a different type of robot, but
right.
Which can be hidden in the type of music that is.
And that's an intentional choice too.
Yeah.
Like this was not, they were trying to make it seem like, now look, you can sing again.
That's my point. Like, you can hide it. Right. And Cher's type of music. Sure. You can't hide it over here.
By the way, Cher's got a two-part memoir coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, she's running her, she's using that filth mouth of hers on the on her interviews that Coda didn't know what to do.
I read
her name, Coda? No.
Hoda Kotb. Hoda.
Yeah. She's retiring.
It's true.
Probably just so people have to stop trying to figure out how to say her name. Gotta hope that's the reason behind that.
It was American Idol, by the way.
It was American Idol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I read an article about the memoir, and they just come right out and say that she didn't write it. Like, it was basically the part of the, like, the sub headline was, Cher hasn't read it yet. I was like, well, it's her memoir. And it's because there's a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
But, like, they're not hiding the fact. I appreciate that they're not hiding it, but it was just an interesting.
So she did. She sat down with somebody for time and spoke. And then that guy or woman went away and said, all right, I'll put it into words for you.
Yeah. But apparently part of the article was saying they did all that and then she wasn't happy with the results. And so then they redid it. But she's also, they also mentioned that she's dyslexic. And so, like, I don't know how bad her dyslexia is.
She called him Sonny Anab for years. That's how bad it was.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. Do you think that's why he divorced her?
I would imagine that she had a lot more to do with the divorce than he did.
Oh, really?
Probably because she couldn't say that name.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird relationship, right? Like, he was.
We'll learn about it in the book. We learned about it in the musical, which was very good.
She was like 16 when she met him, and supposedly nothing happened, even though she moved in with him.
Yeah, but nothing happened until she was of age.
That's their story, and they're sticking to it. But then she's very open about the fact that he was super controlling and awful later.
And I believe the part one ends with her divorce of Sonny.
Yeah, it seems like the article I read said that basically they thought a good breaking point was like when she went into acting, like in movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the first chat. The first part ends with her saying, like, they're like, hey, you want to make a movie? And she's like, sure. And that's the end of part one. And then you jump into the 80s and the Oscar win and all that stuff, which is still crazy that she won an Oscar. Isn't it?
You know why she won?
She's good.
She's very good.
But she didn't do that much else. That's what's weird about it. I mean, she made a few movies, but it's just interesting that someone who was very talented. It's kind of like Barbara Streisand, who was just like very good and was just like, I don't need to do this.
Yeah, but then she made that comeback in Meet the Fockers. And we were lucky enough to have her come back for that. Where she was terrible. As great as she is, and Barbara Streisand is phenomenal in everything she does.
Yeah.
She's awful in those movies, but it's not her fault. The role is awful.
Well, we were talking off the air.
About Barbara Streisand before I arrived?
No, about about an actor who, if you only saw them in one thing, you'd be like, this is the worst actor of all time.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's actually a fantastic actor.
He's good, and it's unfair to the listener, so we're not, but we're still not going to say who it is. He's so good in everything, you can't believe how bad he is in this.
Well, it just makes you realize how important the writing and directing and everything else happening that goes. You're really at the, I mean, that's what's so crazy about acting, is like, you're at the mercy of all these people, some of whom you may never meet, like the editor, to make you look good.
Yeah.
You really have to trust them to do it. And that's why I think people who have good reputations keep working, because you're like, oh, you make actors look good. I trust you. I can work with you. You're not going to put out a movie that makes me look like a bad actor, which they could very easily do.
This thing makes that, like we've talked about before, we've seen people from this project in other things where they're good.
Yeah.
So it's really this thing that makes them look bad.
I don't 100% know why we're being cagey about it, since I think we've said all this like openly.
We're talking about Cobra Kai.
Yeah, we're talking about Cobra Kai.
Show blows.
Yeah. Oh,
you forgot what it was, Garrett?
Forgot. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about Cobra Kai.
The thing that I brought up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your pre-show topic. Speaking of which, Ralph Macchio got a star on the Walk of Fame yesterday.
Yeah. Good for him, honestly. Yeah. There's a lot of people who deserve it a lot less who've gotten them. So
I 100% agree. I would say that I'll throw this one out there, and it's a very in vogue thing to say. And Cheryl Hines has a star. She does not deserve a star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
She's known for two things, really.
I would say one.
Right. Cougar Town, though, maybe. Isn't that the other one? Where
was she on Cougar Town?
It's not Cougar Town. What was she on then that people raved about her on?
She was in Waitress.
No.
What do you mean, no?
The original
that's
movie.
Not what I'm thinking about.
Oh.
She was on another sitcom. She was on a sitcom. Are you sure it wasn't Cougar Town?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Sitcom, a Cougar Town?
Cougar Town.
Is Cougar Town a sitcom?
Is sitcom a Cougar Town?
Yeah, with Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
But maybe it wasn't that. What was the thing?
Suburgatory.
Suburgatory. She was on that, and people raved about her on that.
Yeah.
So, but that's it, to your point. She is not known for that, but she was very good, and people raved about her. She's known for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can be known for one thing. I mean, Rick Dees is known for one thing. And he has a star. that's that he hit for one thing for 50 years.
But, I'm sure that there's probably somebody who was in one television show. Like, who's the guy who was Mr. Ed's owner or whatever? Like, how many things did he do?
Yeah, but you know what? I'll say this about that.
Or Mr. Ed.
Different times.
Sure.
Yeah.
Different times, less shows,
mm-hmm.
less quote-unquote celebrities.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I feel Cheryl Hines getting a star seems premature for that career. Whereas Ralph Macchio, we have known Ralph Macchio since 1980.
Yeah.
And, you know, The Karate Kid is certainly iconic and in the lexicon.
And worldwide, mm-hmm. probably, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also add in my cousin Vinny and The Outsiders. Yeah. It's like, you've got some pretty big hitters there.
Yeah.
And so, yes,
and
I
now
believe
Cobra Kai, it's a home run.
For better or worse, it is a big.
And it's back in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's a big show.
So him getting a star is not. But if you see photos, I would imagine afterwards he thanked William Zabka for dressing up. Thanks for making it over, Billy. Yeah, he dressed the same way he would if you said, hey, let's meet at Bob's for lunch. Like, dude, it's his star of the Walk of Fame. Maybe not a, you know, he looks like he just got done at the easel painting in his garage. You know, a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and then a white button-up unbuttoned over it.
Karen, can you pull that up?
He looks fine, but you'll see my point. Yeah. He just looks like he just, hey, Billy, we're doing something over here. And he just, oh, come on over. Just wandered by.
I gotta see this.
And then I believe it's the woman that was in Karate Kid... the second Karate Kid, his love interest, the Asian woman.
Hmm.
Japanese lady?
Yeah, there they are doing their poses.
This picture. There you go.
Yeah.
That's not the greatest quality, but I see where
you see my point. He looks like...
He's got a t-shirt and some jeans and a button-up shirt over it, maybe? Sure. Or a jacket.
It's like a jacket.
Is it a jacket?
Yeah, that's definitely a t-shirt.
It's definitely a t-shirt.
Not even a...
Yeah.
Not even like a tuxedo t-shirt.
Yeah, it looks like maybe like a canvas members only textile, like canvas. Yeah. Right. At any rate, you dress up for your guy getting a.
I mean, it kind of looks like Macchio barely dressed up. Is that a
suit? Macchio's in a suit. He's in a beautiful all black suit.
This is the worst fucking picture I've ever seen.
I don't disagree with that. The quality
is that like one of those disposable cameras, and somehow they like.
It's just look. You blame the Jonesboro Sun.
I am. Yeah, that's a bad.
That's where it came from.
It's a bad quality photograph.
I don't know why they're all the way out in L.A. covering shit, but
why is that the only one that came up too? Like,
there's a lot, but Google's been it's not the greatest anymore.
Jonesboro cares a lot more about
Macchio
than the rest of the country. They're on it.
Anyway, he got his star of the walk, but that reminded me that I believe it's the time of year that one of our fans submitted to them in the past. And hold that thought, Garen, with that photo. Let me finish this thought. If that person, I forget who that person is, if you could please do that again, that would be great. I know that we got turned down last time because they weren't ready to do podcasts yet. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they're getting close to doing podcasts and that we will not be included in that. And I recognize that. But why not hammer them?
Yeah.
And so that they keep seeing our name,
right?
Because we should be.
Yeah.
We should be considered for that. I mean, that's the truth. If they're going to start giving podcasts stars on the Walk of Fame, I believe any podcaster who means business will tell you that they either were a guest on this show before they did theirs, or we were an inspiration to them, or that they knew of us before they started theirs, and so on. So there would not be. I'm not saying that we are the whole reason for the boom, but we certainly are a part of it.
We were ahead of it.
We were ahead of it. We were one of the people made fun of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. That's how early on we were onto this. And then they made fun of us for going behind a paywall and wanting to charge money. And then now they're in mansions because they charge money. As I've said, we're the beta tape, and the beta tape deserves to be on the Walk of Fame before the VHS tape does.
And certainly before Cheryl Hines.
Yeah, certainly before Cheryl Hines. I believe Cheryl Hines and Donald Trump stars are both going to be chopped up.
Well, I was about to say, doesn't Dr. Oz also have one?
Does he really?
He must, right? It's that's the classic case of a guy who has one, and you're just like, why? Oprah totally deserves it. She's a huge, iconic person. But all of those other fucking shitheads.
Dr. Phil?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Dr. Phil,
I'm sure
would
he
be
has
one.
Yeah, I'm sure he does too.
I'm sure he has one.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, it's just a money thing on some level. I mean, you have to be a certain level, but then it's just about like, if you pay them and
they will come.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll pay them.
Yeah.
Whatever they need.
We can raise them.
Although I don't think we can pay them.
No, right? We can't.
The fans have to.
I mean, I think that's the one sort of valve on this, is that you have to have fans who are interested enough to pay.
I would say, I'm not putting words in our fans' mouths, but I believe that that will not be a problem.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, generally speaking,
yeah.
Like, of course, Dr. Oz could do it if his fans wanted to do it, and he has fans who would do it.
I believe also in that case, let's pretend it's Dr. Oz. Hmm. He goes to his buddy Don and says, Don, pay it.
Here's $20,000.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. One of his rich people just pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no question that NRF Funny fans will come through for us.
100%.
Anyway, there's that photograph of them, of the woman dressed up very nicely, Ralph Macchio taking it very seriously. And then again, Billy Zabka was driving home from his lunch at Mel's Diner and swung by.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good stuff, guys.
I don't know that woman's name. Couldn't tell you that woman's name for $1 million.
No, but she's been in other things.
Is that true?
Yeah. I've recognized her, not as an adult woman from something. I can't pull it.
She did show up on Cobra Kai, right? At some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because he went to Japan.
Yeah, he went to then right. Remember her his rival from that thing then is now a regular on the show.
Right,
yeah.
He became a
ally. They're buddies.
Yeah.
You know, to take down.
And he's living with him for some reason.
Yeah, they got to take down White Fang or whatever the fuck the name of the other one is. Well, I guess, no, they're taking down Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is the villain.
Yes, even though it was briefly not the villain.
Yeah, we're mad at Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Tamlin Tamita is her name.
Mm-hmm.
The character's name is Kimiko.
Thank you, Karen. Hey, speaking of raising money,
yeah,
we are at Smile Train has a thing coming up on December 3rd called Giving Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and they've asked us to participate because of our decade plus long relationship with them. So we're going to be auctioning off, and there'll be a link on our website when the time is right. But the Giving Tuesday is December 3rd, and Smile Train, of course, as you guys know, they raise money to provide surgeries for children and adults that need to have their cleft palates and cleft lips fixed. We've done great work with them in the past. They do great work. So we're auctioning off the canvases that once hung in this room, the 2012 part castathon, and that'll be signed by all four of us, Matt, Elliot, Garen, and myself. And then we've got 2013, which will also be auctioned off. So two auctions for these great canvases, again signed by me, Elliot, Garen, and Matt. And get in there hot, get in there heavy. And let's raise some money for Smile Train once again. This is, again, all part of Giving Tuesday on December 3rd to raise money for Smile Train, auctioning off these great canvases signed by the four cast members.
Nice.
So look for those on the website.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know. We got another few episodes before that to get those going. But I was in communication with Smile Train today, and they asked if we could please, if we had anything to donate. And I said, you know what we do? We've actually, not only do we have something to donate, we've got Smile Train related things to donate.
Yeah.
So perfect. So get on board with those when the time is right. Be on the lookout. We'll add that to our, as soon as we get a link, we'll add it to our website. And so you can start bidding as soon as that becomes available. Now, I will tell you this. I was at the doctor on Tuesday.
Mr. MD?
I was at the doctor on Tuesday.
Mm.
Tuesday is the day I was at the doctor.
Yes.
Of this week. Doctor's calling, doctor,
where you at? It's not what this is supposed to be for, but...
All right, I don't know what this is supposed to be for. Then
it's supposed to be
when you get a call from them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That sounds like a real song. Like before, it said "Garen sucks." I was like, is this just a?
That's a Taylor Swift tune, is it not?
It is
a parody of a Taylor Swift song.
I don't.
It's not.
That I cannot answer you.
What is it a parody of?
It's not a parody.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because I can tell by listening to it.
I think I will. I say it's a parody of a Taylor Swift song.
No.
I honestly just thought,
no, sir.
Like, it just it sounds like the production. I mean, it's like
production's very good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who sent that in, Garen? What are you doing?
I don't know. What? Why are you?
What are you doing?
Sending gang signs?
The fuck
don't
are you doing?
It. Don't worry about it.
What do you mean? Don't worry about it. You're over there for throwing gang signals.
It's not for on air. What I'm telling Matt.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, so okay. Do it. I need to? No, you're on screen.
Was I on screen?
Yeah, you were on screen.
I was saluting the Dodgers. L.A. man.
What in the shit is he
I'm
doing?
I'm so confused. I'm right really now. Confused now. I can tell you this.
Yeah, who
this,
sent
this
it?
Is not secret information as far as I'm concerned. David Craig.
Yeah.
Was that what you were flashing?
David, yeah. David Craig.
Yes.
With hand signals. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's very good. Yeah. Well, it was very good.
Yeah. I liked it.
I also, when I heard it, I thought, oh, you're just sending me a track.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It sounds like I didn't recognize the song specifically, but I was like, this sounds like a current pop song.
This sounds like a current pop song that obviously I don't know because I'm over 50 years old.
Right.
And then Garen Sucks came in.
Very good. Thank you, Garen. That is Garen Cockrell. And he does, according to that song, that does suck. Or he sucks. The song does not. The song was wonderful.
Maybe Garen's gang signs was him lashing out. He finally snapped. Like, finally,
I can't take it.
All of the Garen sucks. He's just like, fuck this shit, man. Fuck all y'all.
Well, Garen's looking up in the world. We're proud of him. I have no idea what any of that means. So anyway, I'm at the doctor,
yeah,
and I see a gentleman that I get all excited that I have a celebrity sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I Google that gentleman, and that guy who I thought it was has been dead for 10 years.
Oh, no.
It was the dad, and you've seen this actor a million times. It was the asshole dad in Meet the Parents, her father.
Oh, I can't picture him.
Garen, pull that guy up.
I'm sure it's one of those character guys who you see in a million things.
You've seen him in a million things. Yeah. And age-wise, it was like, hey, that's the guy that played that in Meet the Parents now. And he was driving a like a Lamborghini. So like a, right. like an Lamborghini SUV or something,
okay,
if that's such a thing.
It is. Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, that checks out. Like everything checked out.
Right, right.
And then I was like, well, I don't know that guy's name. And if I'm going to play this game, I want to know his name. And I looked him up. It's like dead. I'm like, oh, well, it's not even him. But man, he's got a doppelganger.
I did not know he died.
Yeah. Pull up his photograph, though, Garen, if you could.
This probably isn't going to be the best photo, but
that guy.
Oh, yes. That guy.
That guy. Again, I would have bet money it was him.
Yeah.
And if I knew his name, I would have come in here saying I had a celebrity sighting.
Right.
It was this guy.
Yeah.
I would have said working actor sighting, but
that's definitely a type. But yes, that guy. What else was he in? Because he's so familiar. I mean, I definitely know him from Meet the Parents, but like he was in a bunch of movies like comedies where he's like a sort of just a character that comes in. Maybe he's a dick to somebody.
He's probably been in 100 movies.
Yeah, probably. I feel like he was in like Tommy Boy, maybe like things like that.
Yeah, that kind of movie. Where he knows how to do comedy or knew how to do comedy wonderfully, but was never the star.
Right.
He was always the boss, the dad, the co-worker.
You know who was like that until they weren't is Richard Jenkins. That he was just a guy that would be in those roles.
Yes.
And then he got that one movie where he was the star and he got nominated for an Oscar, all this shit. And people are like, holy shit, this guy's an amazing actor. It's like, yeah, he always was.
Yeah.
You just didn't give him a chance because he's bald or whatever the fuck your problem with him was. And now he's like a guy who gets to star in movies.
Is he?
Visitor? Was that the one?
Yes. Something like that.
What has he been?
Well, I don't know if he's done anything related. Yeah, I don't know if he... I feel like he reached that level.
I think he had a little window there where that happened.
Maybe that window closed at this point. But
yeah. I think we're done with Richard Jenkins.
That's too bad. I like him.
Nah.
This dude was in My Cousin Vinny. We already talked about. Okay. Basic Instinct.
Uh-huh.
Scent of a Woman, Lorenzo's Oil, Carlito's Way. He's been in some huge.
He has.
I love Trouble's Not Huge.
Connected to Al Pacino at the hip, right?
Yeah.
It's a couple of
Independence Day.
Well,
that game.
That said, guys,
the game.
He's dead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We miss him.
Was it 2012? When did he die, Garen?
2014.
2014. So 10 years ago. He's been gone 10 years.
The same thing happened to me, by the way, with the. I went out to lunch with Elise for her birthday.
Happy birthday.
And we went to this like sushi place, and I saw a woman who was like, that woman is an actress, but I don't know who it is. And I was like, she kind of looks like Uma Thurman, but young. I was like, is that Uma Thurman's daughter, who's also like an actress now? Maya Hawke, I think her name is.
Hmm.
And Elise was like, that's not Maya Hawke. And then it just never went. I was like, what, I'm going to take a picture of her and be like, hey, can someone tell me who this is? Like,
right.
It was probably nobody, but I was so excited because I'm desperate for, I love celebrity settings. And I feel like I don't get them enough. Other than that Morrissey one that I had to engineer, drive four blocks
drive
out of the way.
Yeah, that was worth it. Payoff was worth it.
It was worth it. Yeah.
But I am told that our office mate, Ryan McMiniman,
yes,
has a celebrity sighting. Correct. So let's get him in here. Ryan! Yo. Come on in, Ryan McMiniman.
Hit the song.
This is Ryan's second time playing celebrity sighting.
In as many weeks, I would say.
Come on in, Ryan. Come on in. Use the seat over there. Ryan McMiniman, AST Records. They got a hot new release from Greg Proops.
Yeah.
Kimberly Clark has a hot new release over there.
That's right.
We're now on Blue Sky, which Never Not Funny is also now on Blue Sky. I should mention, go follow us on Blue Sky.
I followed both accounts. I was the first follower for Never Not Funny, and I think I was the fifth follower for Special Thing Records.
Nice.
I got in early on both. Only because I happened to be looking at my phone when they followed me. And that's and then I don't know who the four people are that beat me.
Hmm.
Ryan, who are the four that beat me over there on Blue Sky?
I have no idea.
He's not involved in that.
Yeah.
This is the one area where I can say I'm more involved than he is.
Wait a minute. You're doing the Blue Sky AST?
I was setting it up yesterday.
Right, so it's done. So it's one and only post has happened?
Catherine is also. She's more involved
Catherine
than I am.
Catherine handles the social media.
I see.
I don't get involved with that.
You don't need to. You're too busy.
Too busy.
He was signing artists.
Ryan was very proud, although maybe a little bit abashed, but also kind of proud. I would be proud if I were you to say that he never once logged into the Never Not Funny Twitter account. I mean, the AST
yeah.
Twitter account.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's exciting. Ryan, you're closer. Hey, would you adjust that and make that?
Yeah.
That's a little askew. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Might have overcorrected it now. There we go. How's that?
It looks good.
Does it?
To me. I mean,
maybe a little bit more down on the right.
Yeah. I got to go. Just kind of just slid it over. There we go.
There we go.
Thank you, Ryan.
Sure.
All right, Ryan.
There you go.
Happy to help. Thank you so much. There's your. The whole thing was a ruse. He has no celebrity sighting. He just wanted somebody to fix that. Ryan, where did you see said person?
I saw said person at a bar in Eagle Rock.
An Eagle Rock Tavern.
Yes.
All right. Let's get
the
into
Capri
it.
Capri Club.
Is it what?
The Capri Club is the name of the bar.
All right. Is that known for something special, the Capri Club?
No. Good lasagna on Mondays.
They got lasagna Mondays?
They got lasagna Mondays.
My boy hates... He loves lasagna. He just hates Mondays.
That's a real... Yeah, that's really pulling Garfield apart, that situation.
About that.
Maybe that's why they do it on Mondays.
Could be.
Yeah,
to
cheer him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to do something there for Garfield. He's so depressed.
All right. Is this an actor?
Yes.
Is it a gentleman?
No.
A lady actor?
A lady actor.
Over 50?
Over 50.
Is this a divorcee bar?
Is that
why you mentioned the age?
Divorcee bar.
All right. So it's a female actress, a female actor.
Over 60?
Yes.
Is it the barfly herself, Faye Dunaway?
No.
She starred in a movie called Barfly.
Nice pull.
Thank you very much.
Is she still with us?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Don't know.
She presented an Oscar a couple years ago, didn't she?
I want to say she's
the one that
88
up.
Years old.
Is she the one that screwed that up?
It was
with
her
in Moonlight.
Yeah, it was Faye Dunaway in.
Yes, you're right.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she couldn't have died since then.
True, but I think we would have heard about it. I mean, either way,
I don't know. Celebrity deaths are not getting the heat they used to.
She's still alive.
Okay, thank you.
How old is she? Is she 88, as my guess was?
She's 83.
Oh, my God. Looked horrible. I thought she was 88. I thought she was dead 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
That's poor Faye.
All right, so this woman's over 60, less than 70.
I don't know her exact. I would guess she's in her 70s.
All right, Garen does... She is in her 70s.
Okay. That'd be my guess.
And was she there with others, or was she sitting at the bar by herself?
No, she was by herself.
Oh.
Was she enjoying the lasagna?
No, this wasn't a Monday.
Oh.
Is she known for comedy more? Or
no.
She's a dramatic actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Award-winning actress.
Yes.
And is she more known for movies?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
But so this is a woman that's won an Academy Award?
Yes.
Whoa.
For acting.
Yes.
Multiple?
Yes.
Meryl Streep?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
You saw Meryl Streep at a bar?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow.
Just enjoying a martini on her own.
If I may,
you may.
She is in Murders in the Building, so I would say more known for television.
and comedy.
And comedy.
Obviously.
So, is she on that? I didn't know.
So good try, Ryan, with your Silkwoods and your other horseshit. She is a comedic actress from this overrated comedy on that stream.
I'm a little bummed that we got it so quickly.
Yeah, it was a quick
one. That's a huge one.
Figured it'd be an easy one.
Yeah.
Did you speak with her?
No.
You left her alone.
Well, this is a weird thing. I did see another woman speaking with her. Who looked exactly like her, and I assume she was saying, "Hey, I people tell me all the time I look just like you. And they kind of laughed to each other. And
they did laugh.
She took off, yeah. But she really looked a lot like Meryl Streep. It was
the other woman?
Yeah.
So if you had seen the other woman, would you have come in here and said, I just saw Meryl Streep?
Impossible.
That's fascinating.
That's really strange to see two Meryl Streeps, and one of them is Meryl Streep.
Right.
Yeah, Elise saw her at the Joni Mitchell show on stage. She was on stage with, but like she was there with her daughters, and so her daughters are actresses too. And so
are they
like
Streeps?
No, they each have different. It's a real Estevez Sheen situation.
one of the daughters is a very good actress.
Yeah, I think
maybe they both are. But one of them is known.
Yeah, well, the one I like. I don't know if I can't remember the other one or what I've seen her in, but the one who I more recently became aware of is on that show, The Gilded Age on HBO, which I'm the only fan of on Earth.
I've never heard of that.
I think you are the only fan.
Yeah, I've talked to people about it. Elise likes it too, but we might be the only people who like it. I know Danielle watched it and was like, this is absurd and so bad. It's basically like a schlockier Downton Abbey, but it takes place in like Manhattan in the 1890s.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
Yeah, it's the same guy who did Downton Abbey, but it's like even more of like a soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan's passing.
It's real trashy, but like
perfect. Doesn't matter what you say about it, Ryan's out.
Well, you check out Meryl Streep's daughter, and she's really good.
Okay.
She is.
You don't have to do that, Ryan.
Did we guess it?
Yeah, we guessed it.
It was Meryl Streep.
It was Meryl Streep.
Where was Marty?
That's what I was about to ask. She wasn't with Martin Short?
He's in New York filming the 19th season of that show that nobody watches anymore.
Supposedly. Do you know about this? Apparently, there are a couple.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Marty Short and Meryl Streep.
Wow.
Well, they deny it, right?
It has not been confirmed.
Yeah. Oh, well,
they've been friends for many years.
Slinging rumors?
It just people want to believe it. It's just a nice story.
I love that idea.
You know, Martin Short is a widower, so it's a nice idea that
she is single,
find love again. Yeah, she's
not anymore. She's dating Marty Short.
She recently divorced. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
She's cruising divorcee bars.
Yeah, that's what I heard. She's eating lasagna sadly by herself at some tavern,
waiting for a man to come talk to her.
What was she there for? Taco Tuesday? What night was she there?
I think it was a Wednesday.
What's the special of Wednesday at the Capri Club?
I don't know. I think it's only Mondays they have lasagna.
And you've had it? You speak
good.
Of it.
It's good lasagna. Yeah. Good.
It's weird for a bar to make lasagna, isn't it?
I agree.
It's like an Italian bar with small plates.
Okay.
It's good. Good food.
So the lasagna, do you think the lasagna is made on site?
I think it is made on site.
They got a kitchen back there?
They have a full kitchen.
Can I get a plate of ziti if that's what I wanted?
I don't think they do ziti. No.
What pasta do they do then?
I don't know if they have pasta. It's like
this Italian place?
Yeah, they have like arancini balls and meatballs and
they have like a mozzarella
fried sticks. Polenta. They have fried polenta sticks.
Like a fancy version of mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella sticks, come on.
Who doesn't
for
like
adults.
Mozzarella sticks?
Yeah, it's an adult bar.
Mozzarella sticks are delicious.
Yeah, for kids.
Everybody loves what the fuck are you talking about? You don't come on this show and disparage the mozzarella sticks.
You like cheese and you like bread?
I like mozzarella sticks. Yeah. They're kids
food. This bar sucks. I hate this bar and I hate you.
Okay. Well, I mean,
they make mozzarella sticks at sports bars. You know, you go to a Hooters, they probably have mozzarella sticks.
The children's bar, Hooters?
Yeah, that's right.
Ryan, was it your dad who told you that mozzarella sticks were for kids?
No, I like them. I eat them. They just in my head, they're like a children's food.
What do you think
like
about
mac and cheese.
What about
like
the cereal
I eat
tricks?
It, I order it. Tricks? Yeah, they're for kids.
Okay.
Why do kids like them?
That's Kicks.
Oh, that's you're right. That's damn it.
Wait, Kicks is that Kicks?
Kicks.
Kicks is tested, mother approved.
It's kids like Kicks for what Kicks has got.
Oh boy.
Moms like Kicks for what Kicks has not.
Oh, that's before my time.
Yeah.
Is it? That makes me a little nauseous.
You're the exact same age.
You're the same age.
Again, Kicks is our time.
I remember Kicks being kid tested, mother approved.
Yeah, that was definitely
probably part of the same.
Yeah, probably the same
campaign. Okay. Yeah. I mean, just the same sentiment. Deal. Yeah. The thing I'm saying, it was a song. It was in the commercial.
I don't remember that.
They
are you saying that if you went somewhere they had mozzarella sticks, you wouldn't have any?
No, I would. I do eat them. I like them.
I get excited when I see them on the menu because I feel like they're not as prominent as they used to be for some reason.
We were just somewhere that they were advertised as jumbo mozzarella sticks.
Oh boy, that seems.
And I don't remember where we were, and we contemplated getting them, and we didn't. And now I kind of wish we would have because I want to know what that means.
Probably just a thicker mozzarella stick.
Yeah, but do you want that?
No,
I don't think I do.
Throws off the ratio.
I do too.
Yeah. No, that's a bad idea. It's already a difficult thing because sometimes the cheese isn't cooked enough, and that's weird. You know what I mean?
Like
it's
just right.
It has a solid stick inside. And then sometimes it's too melty, and that's a friggin' mess, and it burns your mouth.
But I'd rather it be too melty than a solid stick.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Salad Stick is just a piece of cheese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With some breading on it. Nobody wants that.
Do they not know that?
What?
If it was... if
you want that.
I mean, if it was
sounds
done...
like, it sounds like you want that.
If that was done on purpose, if that was the goal...
It is not the goal of a mozzarella stick.
I think that's the thing. I don't mind eating a piece of cheese that's solid. It just when I expect it to be warm and melty, it's a bummer when you're like, arr.
Mm-hmm. You dip it in that marinara.
The marinara. Right. Hey, delicious. Speaking of Italian dishes, you guys all play Connections. What the fuck was that ear pasta all about? The other day, Connections? One of the categories was pasta shapes and one of them was ear.
Yeah, I didn't...
And I think there's an Italian word for that that you might recognize. It's like... Orecchiette or something.
Orecchiette.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you and your fancy bar. Maybe you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you and your small plate bullshit.
Look, Meryl Streep's not going to a place with mozzarella sticks.
I know she's not, but you know what? Marty does.
Sure.
Marty loves a mozzarella stick. He's a man of the people.
Yeah.
Poor widower, sadly, and got his face, his nose down in a bowl of mozzarella.
You think we're ever going to get a Marty and Meryl variety show?
Yes.
I welcome it.
God,
would be good.
We had Marty and Maya.
I yearned for that. It sounds like it would be amazing.
Yeah.
Does it?
Marty and Meryl? Marty and Meryl.
I don't know if she pulls off comedy as much as we want her
to. I like half of that variety show, I think.
I think the variety show has sailed, no? Are we still doing variety
Well, again,
shows?
Marty Short tried it with Maya Rudolph and it failed miserably.
That's right. So he's not going to go again with
Street. He will. Yes, he will. You don't think Marty Short's...
I guess, I mean, the industry's not going to try again with him.
I could see Netflix giving it to him.
Yeah, there you go.
I can see that going, hey, we're going to do a Marty Short variety show.
Hey, you guys excited for Pop Culture Jeopardy with Colin Jost?
Yes, very much so.
No.
You're not?
No.
Why not? Look, it's a Jeopardy like I can compete in.
I don't like the celebrity Jeopardy. I just like the regular plain vanilla.
Well, at least yesterday she was like, oh, I'm excited for that show. I was like, well, did you know that it's teams? Each podium has three people at it.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's not Jeopardy. She's immediately out.
I don't disagree. I don't care for that one. By the way, I know some behind the scenes stuff on that, but I will not get into that because I'm not at large to speak about it, and it's not fair.
At large, the police have apprehended you.
I am not at liberty. Is what I meant to say. I will watch it for the same reason you. Yeah. I'm with Ryan. I cannot stand Celebrity Jeopardy. I find it unwatchable. But I love regular Jeopardy, and I will love Pop Culture Jeopardy because again, I can play and compete.
Yes.
And I will enjoy that. And I like Colin Jost.
It just seems more like it's pub trivia dressed up with the Jeopardy logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
exactly what
teams,
it
is. You know, and it's just pop culture stuff, which again, I'm a fan. I will probably enjoy it. And I understand why they're calling it Jeopardy is for marketing purposes. And the Jeopardy brand is out there doing their thing. But you got Colin Jost. Just, I don't know.
Why isn't there a pub trivia game show?
There is. It's called Pop Culture Jeopardy.
No, but I mean, like, the set looks like a bar or something. There's teams that...
I'm sure they've tried it over the years.
Feels like that must have existed at some point, right?
And they probably tried a zillion pilots, I would imagine, have been tried that way.
That's probably true. I feel like if you do that, then you have to do like an enhanced version of like the stunt category. Like you do regular trivia, like three rounds, and then you have some kind of thing where you've got to get up and do a thing.
Right.
Like that would be the television version of that.
Right. Because you're in a bar. Like, why not? Now you have to pound. Right.
But you don't do that. but you don't do that at regular pub trivia. Sit and you answer your question.
No, there are ones where you do.
Oh, really?
Really?
What I'm saying
I've
is
never
that
been
you,
one.
The ones that I go, like King Trivia kind of does that, where there's like every few rounds, there's like a not regular trivia thing, like either it's pictures, but then also they do a thing where you do shots. Like there are different things where they do that. You wouldn't do that exact thing on TV, but you would take that idea and every few questions do a different thing.
I could see an executive being like, we got to raise the stakes. Like do
that's true.
Play musical chairs for one thing.
Yeah, you know what? You don't need to do that because Jeopardy has proven that format works.
Yes.
And which is why Pop Culture Jeopardy will also work.
Mm-hmm.
It's people, you know, it's Q&A and people enjoying themselves. That's it. End of story.
Do you not like Celebrity Jeopardy because it's too easy?
No, I don't like the celebrity aspect of it, quite frankly.
Well, they try a little too hard to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
too
that.
Loose.
What about Teen Jeopardy? That's another one that's a little easier.
I like college.
Or college, yeah, whatever.
Which I don't always find to be a little easier, quite frankly.
I know. That's the problem.
Because they got their noses in the book.
Celebrity Jeopardy is the perfect level of
I agree with
difficulty
that.
For me.
I like it for that reason.
Yeah.
But I don't like it. I don't need to see Chelsea Peretti answering questions. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'd rather see she is a, you know, a, a chemist from Ohio. I'd rather see that and root for her.
Right.
I don't root for any celebrity because I don't give a fuck about it.
Mm-hmm.
That said, they're welcome on the show anytime. We're welcome on, or if we see them in a bar, we will certainly talk about them in a segment we call Celebrity Sighting. Put a little button on it. All right, there. Close it off. Ryan, thanks for being here.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, listen, let's take a break. Chris Grace will be joining us. We'll come back right after this.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. Chris Grace is on Instagram at Chris Grace Comedy. His most recent special, actually, he's doing a new show that you can only see live, so check his social media to see when he's doing that. But his last one, Chris Grace as Scarlett Johansson, is available on Dropout. You can sign up for a free 7-day trial and watch that for free, so I suggest you do that. I saw it, and it's fantastic, so check that out. Jimmy Pardo can be checked out doing his holiday Zoom at flapperscomedy.com on December 6th. And then on December 7th, he's doing Flappers Comedy Live. He's in the Yoohoo Room doing stand-up comedy there. Don't forget our sidewalk sales ongoing at neverenoughfunny.com. You can pick up a hat or maybe some other merch from past years, and that's good stuff there. And finally, Jimmy already mentioned it, but I just want to remind you, we're auctioning off 2 Podcastathon canvases for Smile Train. So go to our site. We'll have a link on our site to those auctions. But we're raising some more money for Smile Train, so that's a good cause. That's for Giving Tuesday. So check it out and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, 35M of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. As a reminder, we're trying to match Garen today with the drama movie that begins with the letter M. Plenty of them. We are joined by Chris Grace, who I just had the pleasure of sharing the stage with, at Go Fact Yourself at the worst parking lot in the in the city. You got a 4-foot drop-off that you have to Evel Knievel to get out of the goddamn place. What's it called? The Center for Information?
Center for Inquiry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, isn't there a thing in Jurassic Park where there's like a trailer that goes over the side of a thing?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what it was like.
It's very similar to that, is it not?
Yes, it's very much
There's
like
a crane that. Back there, or a scoop, or whatever it is.
Yeah, they're working on something back there.
Yeah, they're doing. So what are they digging up? They're digging up bones.
They're going to find the body of Richard III or something.
I think that's what they're doing. Jim Underdown runs the place.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him back in Chicago, and he was known as the poet laureate of Calumet City, and he went by the name Jim U-Boat.
Oh,
and he would go up at open mics and do poems.
The question I had when I was there is that place the same one as what was the Steve Allen?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the Steve Allen got torn down. I'm guessing to make condos, if I'm going by whatever. Probably the retail on the bottom, condo on top format that seems to be very popular these days. And then they've moved over there to the very inconvenient Temple and Rampart,
mm-hmm.
Where I saw you for Go Fact Yourself, and we had a great time.
Yeah, really fun. Got a couple of moments of Jimmy yelling at me on stage. Great.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for.
Well, that's mm-hmm. what you're there for. That's yep. what you want.
Yeah.
When you picked Never Not Funny as one of your... And how disappointed were you?
I was not disappointed at all.
You had to have been. Of your 3?
Not at all. I mean, I had a hunch that this would be a reliable... I wasn't sure it was going to be you. I thought it might be Garen or Matt or Elliot as well.
How disappointing with that.
And here is the intern, Garen Cockrell.
Well, the thing is, so when you go on Go Fact Yourself, you are sort of thinking about, like, what, you know, I'm not going to, like, as my topic be like, Shaquille O'Neal, you know?
Right.
And also,
but you could, because then they would find somebody who wrote a book about Shaquille O'Neal.
Well,
they would find somebody.
But I don't want to meet that guy.
But you don't want to meet that guy, right.
So you're kind of shooting for who... But also, I thought it'd be fun if one of y'all were the guests.
Sure.
And my other ones were Everything Everywhere All at Once and the poem The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. And I was actually fully expecting that, like, the professor of poetry from USC would show up or something like that. And then my other two were, like, a board game and... The other one was... The career of Nathan Lane, and they actually tried to get Nathan Lane, which I thought would have been funny.
He would have shown why they couldn't get him even on Zoom, huh?
I guess they couldn't get him, yeah. I wonder if it, I think it is more fun when the guest is there in person.
100%.
Sure. So, though they've got a nice Zoom setup, it's still.
It is a decent Zoom setup.
Yeah.
I will say, it also, the date had to be changed. Remember, that we initially was like 2 months ago, and it was whoever you were competing against at the time, who was not who you competed against this time,
yes,
canceled, I want to say, the morning of?
Morning of. It was, I want to say her name is Katie Sackhoff, who played Starbuck on Battlestar.
She's also on Mandalorian, right? She was.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Yes, she's a Mandalorian.
Yeah. What's the woman's name?
Oh God, she's a Starbuck.
also Starbuck.
Yeah, and she played Starbuck on the TV show Longmire as well. but I believe she had a flight issue.
There was a flight issue. Yeah, she her flight did not get out in time.
I wanted to ask you this award-winning comedy podcast. What organization gave that award? That was one of my questions.
Oh, this is the Aspen Comedy Festival.
No, it was not.
Wrong!
It
was the Rooftop Comedy Festival.
Yeah, that was the only one that, if I'm being sensitive, it seemed like a backhanded compliment of Jimmy Jokely Says award-winning podcast. They did win an award, but what now defunct, you know, thing from 17 years ago? Like it was like right. Yes, that's the premise, but the listener doesn't have to know. You know,
we
take it positively here.
They're taking the premise of your ironic saying of that and making it sort of an insult.
Yeah. That's kind of how I took it.
But I don't know when the last time the words rooftop comedy were mentioned on this podcast. So
they never are because I don't bother mentioning. That part, I just say award winning.
Right. Yeah. That's why I thought that was a particularly difficult question.
And I'll say this, a necessary question. Yeah. I would have come up with several more.
And then the other one I thought was difficult was the how much money has all the podcastathons.
But you did very well on that one.
Yeah, I did. I sort of mathed it out. But I mean, do y'all off the top of your head just know what that number is?
I mean, we know the number that we say on the show, like when we're doing podcastathon.
Right.
We say a rounded off number, basically.
Right.
But so we would all probably answer the same.
It's 1.5.
It's not the exact number, obviously. Right. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I didn't get that right.
I honestly, I don't think I would have either because I couldn't. Like, just right now, off the top of my head.
It's probably 1.476. Like, it's probably...
Yeah.
It's in the ballpark, but for Smile Train purposes promotional purposes.
And how much of that is in cash in the back where Ryan is?
1.4.
Okay. What do you think all those boxes are?
You know, I think the one surgery... We saw the one surgery we provided the money for in 2015. We pocketed everything else.
And that cost $100,000.
As far as I'm concerned, it did.
Well, flying us there and putting us in a four-star hotel for a week.
Yeah.
The operation cost
$50. Yeah, mostly.
Being at the Four Seasons for the two of you. I do walk I walk in that hall and I look at the boxes of merch or whatever and I'm like, oh, I wonder which of these things could I take? And then I think, would they even care if
I took... That's all AST stuff. Those are records and CDs out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so
if you want to take that.
If I took six of those cardboard boxes, would you care?
if I may, there is a little portion of Never Not Funny hats.
That's true, yeah.
So you're welcome to take any of those boxes.
If you want to unload those.
Okay, great.
You could start your own business.
Start my own, yeah. I mean, I recently bid on eBay for an NNF beanie. 'Cause a while back, remember, Garen, I was supposed to get yours.
Oh, I can give it. I have it. Not with me, but I can give it to you.
Because I lost mine.
You lost your beanie?
And it's a great beanie.
It's a good beanie.
And so Garen is supposed to give me one. He dropped the ball on that, as usual.
Garen, I'm sorry. He said that.
I looked on eBay, and there's one on eBay.
What's it going for?
It's a whole little set of hat, rubber keychain, and whatever, and it's $16.
Who's this dickhead getting rid of all of his Never Not Funny stuff?
And I did a make an offer for $12. And it was like declined and like blocked.
Like, wow.
And then I was like, all right, let's see a year later. It's still up for $16.
Is it? Is it still there? Yeah. Garen, pull it up if you would over still on eBay. There. Let's see. I want to see that guy's
you
handle.
Couldn't.
Yes, $4.
You had to lowball the $16. You're getting a whole package of stuff.
That's true, but I don't know.
The hat alone is worth $20.
It's the game of it, you know?
Yeah.
Let me say this. So I'm curious what's there, because we're currently having the sidewalk sale.
Yeah.
Where things are at blowout prices. And so I'm curious to see what all is there. So here's what this would sell for.
That is the exact listing.
All right.
I am no longer allowed to make an offer on this.
All right, what do you got? You got the beanie. The beanie would go for, if we had a surplus of beanies, they'd be going for $10. So the beanie would be $10. What else you got? You got the
freshener.
Air freshener would be $3, and the keychain would be $5. So that's $18 is what you would buy that for, plus shipping. Shipping would be probably $6. 18 plus 6 is what?
24.
24. So that would cost $24. What is it right now? 16 plus, is that include shipping?
Is it 16? $16.52. Shipping is $15.68.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Well, then now I'm with you. I'm trying to...
Dude, $15? That I know from shipping, that does not cost $15 to ship.
That's eBay international shipping.
Oh.
Where is this guy?
Where's this guy
at? He's in Fremont.
California?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the...
Let's just drive there and get it.
What's his handle, Garen?
Alec GV.
This is Alec, huh?
Ooh, let's cross-reference this against your records.
Yeah, see who this guy is.
100% positive eBay rating.
He's got 100%?
That's yeah, nice. 100%. 962.
Well, not after this one. I'm going to badmouth this son of a bitch.
I was going to say, you know how he got to 100? By blocking this asshole.
Yeah. He wouldn't take 12 for this. Wait, I'm mad that you won't pay the extra 4, and I'm mad at him for not just wanting this out of his life.
It's like, why put it up if you're not trying to get rid of it? Because
right? So, you clearly want to get rid of it. Unless, this guy's a trumper. He's a trumper. I'm going to say it.
Unless he had some delusion of grandeur, like, oh, this thing's going to get, there's going to be multiple bids. It's going to go up to $60.
No.
Well, he's clearly making money on the shipping, too.
So. Oh, he's making $10 on the shipping.
Jimmy, yeah. I think you're included in this.
What do you mean?
It says, item description from the seller, Never Not Funny, I guess he gets the show. He's auctioning the show. Never Not Funny, beanie, hat, air freshener, sticker, keychain, Jimmy Pardo.
Oh. I'm part of it.
Yeah, I guess you're part of it.
That's why the shipping's so much. it costs a lot to put me in a box. Mm-hmm. You don't put me in a box.
No.
You can't box
or
me.
Or a corner.
I think outside of it, buddy.
That's right.
And I can't go in the corner. There's already somebody there.
Baby.
Baby's there.
No, don't
I don't put her
it.
There.
She's already there.
Well,
you don't put her there, but she's there. The father put her there.
Yeah, damn that.
I noticed a couple things walking in.
Yeah, what'd you notice, Chris?
The office next door is available.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
What do you need to do?
No. I mean, I did think about, like, if I moved in here, like, because, I mean, there would be loud times, I think, coming through the wall to that office.
From your side?
No, from your side.
Oh, yes. That's why nobody stays there.
Yeah. And then I noticed that there was construction next door, but now there's a nice... If I live there and I rent this office,
that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Anytime, yeah, I could just.
I believe there's upwards of 2 occupants in that building now, from what I could tell.
Mm.
Looks like there's 2 units.
You guys, you and Elliot walk by there. I never park on that side, so I don't really get a look at it that much. Like, I drive by it, but I don't pay attention.
I'm gonna say 2.
Yeah,
if I had to,
I don't have it. A number on that, but I will say that they did kind of address. Your issue with the what is it, the fire hose connections or whatever,
yeah,
with all the plants around it,
yeah,
no, yeah, I can't decide if it looks nice or not.
It doesn't
okay. Looks better than it did,
but for a, it's brand new, right?
You mean I think he's talking the entire thing as a whole,
as a building, yeah, it's
right,
not very,
yeah, it does not. I don't think it does,
but is it a completely new construction?
Yeah, oh yeah,
that's 100%. It's just weird for a brand new building to, like, it's almost like, what year is this from? It looks kind of old.
Yeah,
in its aesthetic, and not in a fun way.
I don't disagree with that. It doesn't. It's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe a different color would make it pop a little. Just white. A white building is weird. Just give it some color.
What color would you make it though?
I don't know.
I think I would have gone to Chris's point. I think I would have made it look like an old brownstone or something. Like, if you're going to build something make it look intentionally retro.
What about a brand new building but looked like an old Hollywood bungalows type situation?
Sure.
I would like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go talk to them.
Nah. Is it too late to totally change how this thing looks?
They're going to have to. I don't think they're going to get a lot of people in there. As we know they're asking a crazy amount for rent.
Mm.
And I don't think it's all that convenient.
You can walk to 7-Eleven. Get a 7-Eleven right there.
That part of it. Mm. I mean, I could walk to a 7-Eleven from my house. But I don't think I want to look out my window and look at a 7-Eleven.
No.
There's no...
Not for that money.
There's no view from that building.
Well, you get to see me walk from my car.
Sure.
So that's exciting. They get a celebrity sighting every single time they're having their coffee.
That's right.
Do you think the listing says that's like right by the L.A. River? Like,
yes.
Overlooking the beautiful L.A. River, because it technically does.
It probably says like easy access to like... The shopping on Ventura or whatever.
Yeah. Or even the mall. The mall is very close.
Yeah.
The freeway is very close.
Yeah.
I mean, for that, when I say it's not convenient, it's convenient really for everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the listing says next to award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny?
Rooftop comedy.
Asterix. Well, by the way, this is an ironic joke that we're saying it's an award-winning thing. Don't think that this award is prestigious at all. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
I'm a little mad at Jay Keith for that question. I'll say it. I'm a little... I didn't like it.
I wanted to say something. We also... I don't know if you consider this an award, but we were also named in multiple places like... You know, when the year-end lists, like iTunes used to do a thing, I think probably still do on Apple Podcasts, where it's like podcasts of the year. Like mm-hmm. we were one of those. That's kind of an award, right?
And I would say top. We were the top podcast. Yep.
Yeah, and other lists like AV Club and things like that.
Weren't you mentioned in like GQ or Esquire?
Sure,
as well?
We were mentioned in everything. We were the pioneers. And then I go to a game show and I'm mocked by J. Keith Van Stratton and his hipster group of misfits.
Supposed to be a love fest. Apparently all the dick sucking you got from these guys about how great your show is wasn't enough. You still also needed the question to suck your dick.
Yeah, speaking of which, in the last couple of days, my friend Rob Stern has a hilarious improv comedy podcast.
Yeah.
And I was on it and he did a little clip and I shared it on Blue Sky and I was like, this is truly like the funniest, and I made sure to put improv comedy podcasts. And then what do I get? A text from James R. Pardo about being disappointed that I said another podcast was better. And I was like, I fucking put the word improv in there so that you would know I wasn't talking about,
which is why I texted you the whole thing. I was part of the joke. I was yes anding the bit.
I will take that 100% seriously and say we are also an improv podcast. Technically, this is an improvised conversation.
I should kind of go along with that too, man. It really, on the heels of Chris Grace on stage saying that this is his favorite podcast and that we've saved his life. And then to have him a day later say, here's the funniest improv podcast, was insulting to me.
Right.
On the heels of that question that J. Keith presented and this horseshit.
Well, that recording
and
was
my car bottoming out.
That's true. That recording was on Saturday, and I heard Rob's podcast on Sunday. So.
Oh, so you changed your
ranking. Your ranking. You
know, they're always going to be
power rankings change.
That's fair.
You know.
That's fair. Chris found a street. You found street parking.
I did.
Good for you.
Well, because actually when I went, the gate was closed, and I didn't know someone was going to like open it for me.
Well, Mr. Pardo was able to have that.
You were in a like stacked situation.
I had to move my car so that Cameron Esposito could get out.
Yeah.
And then that made me leave early. But then I circled back to say goodbye to Chris properly.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say goodbye to Jay Keith and Jim Newman properly, too, but I did not see them. Hmm. And then I had a nice conversation on the corner where I believe in the time that Chris and I stood out there talking, it dropped 54 degrees.
It did.
Right? It went from like, oh, this is a nice, comfortable night to talk to, if I don't get inside my car now, my teeth will chatter their way out of my face.
We're in that time of year where the days are sort of lovely 70 degrees and then nights are bitter cold.
They are.
Even warm. Like yesterday, it was like warm out. And then I was picking my son up from soccer. And I had four fucking layers on, and I was standing by the field. I was like, I'm freezing right now with a puffer and then three layers under it. I couldn't believe how cold it was.
I had to psych myself up to take the dog out last night.
And let's be very clear to the rest of the country. We're talking about 55 degrees. It's not even cold. It's not cold. If you're in Chicago, those guys, they're wearing shorts playing softball.
Right.
Right.
But it's something about that. There's a little bit of a dampness to it. I don't know. It's just.
No, it's cold.
It's cold. It
How much
cold.
Of a tech bro do you look like in your puffer?
It's a very old beat down.
Is it a vest, though?
No. It's okay, a full jacket. Yeah. No.
I wear the vest.
Okay. How much of a tech bro do you look
Zero.
Like?
I kind of look like that guy who was in Silicon Valley. I look like the. What was that guy's name?
Thomas Middleditch?
No. The other company. The guy with the short guy that running the company.
Big Head? Oh, wait. No, running the company.
No, the
guy that died?
The big company. The asshole.
Yeah, the like Google equivalent.
Yeah, right. Stole it. Whoever that guy is.
Yeah.
Not the best example when you're saying you didn't look like a tech bro.
I look like him.
Okay.
I'm saying I look a little bit like that guy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What was the name of that company? They were Robin Hood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, Goggle or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
All I can think of is.
Wait, they weren't Pied Piper?
They were Pied Piper. Yes. Not Robin Hood. They were Pied Piper. Robin Hood's a real thing.
Right. But they both have red or green hats. And so.
Yeah. And they both want people to follow them. Robin Hood doesn't.
All I can think of is the I always thought it was funny that the T.J. Miller's character started a company called Aviato, and I always thought that was funny. It was like, I forget what it did. It was like something about flying. I don't know. It was just, he was so big on like Aviato, and like it didn't mean anything. So that's the only company name I can think of from that entire show.
Garen, Hooli?
Was that
Hooli?
Hooli. That was
Hooli.
Right.
And what's the head guy of Hooli?
Gavin Belson.
That's it. I look a little like that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that show for a season. I like that show.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a new show, by the way. I haven't watched it yet, but it's Ted Danson, and it's a Mike Shore show, I believe.
Yeah. I saw the billboard for it.
Yeah. I don't remember what that is. And, like, I was literally just wondering. I was like, what the hell is that guy doing? Because I've liked every show he's done. Like, I love Parks and Rec. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. The Office he worked on was great. Mm-hmm. And here it is. It's him, and I think he's like a detective or something.
Yeah. Right?
In like an old age home or something. It's,
maybe this is his like Matlock type show.
Great.
What an insane career to dance in his head.
Oh, my God.
Just
can't stop winning.
And it won't stop.
Yeah.
Like, he can stop.
Yeah.
He can relax.
I think he loves it too much.
He doesn't have to do cell phone commercials.
Genuinely one of the friendliest people I've ever worked with.
Nice man, isn't he? Yes. What'd you work with him on?
Mr. Mayor.
You were on Mr. Mayor.
I liked that show.
And he treated me like we were old friends.
Oh,
and nice. I actually think I've even mentioned this on a Zoom for one of your Zooms. But like when I met him, it made me realize what Joe Biden does with people, which is that like we were in the makeup trailer and like suddenly Ted Danson's hands are like all over my shoulders. Yeah. You're like, hey, how's it going? But I was like, never met this person in my whole life. And it wasn't, and then we fucked.
Perfect.
No, it was just very, it was very uncle like.
Right.
In a way. And I was like, oh, this is how, this is great.
Well, Jimmy, you do that, or you used to do it more, like, comedically. Like,
I don't do it anymore, but you're right. I used to do it. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
It's like what's going on? You were sort of making fun of someone like that who's way too handsy.
Not so sure I was making fun of him, with you.
So, you were trying to be funny with
him. I was trying to be funny, but I'm not, I don't think I was making fun of anybody. Yeah. I think I just was like,
it was just an awkward
being
thing
weirdo.
Yeah.
For comedy.
Right, yeah.
This was more just like, while we're discussing like the Chiefs game or something, just like, hey, how's it going? You know, very, for me, unusual.
If I was sitting in the chair next to you guys, what was Ted Danson and Chris Grace's takes on the Chiefs game?
That the Bills eked it out with Josh Allen's fourth quarter run into the end zone.
Does Ted agree?
I don't know.
This is pre-Taylor showing up at those games too, right?
By
years.
Well, if it's post-Taylor, then it's like, which of the Kelsey brothers do I jerk it to more? And that would be Jason.
Huh.
Really?
Just look of disgust on your face.
I want that guy off my television.
I mean, I don't disagree, but Jason's far hotter than Travis in my world.
I don't know if I agree with that, and I don't have a dog in this fight.
I got a dog.
I got a cock in this fight.
Chris, I don't know if you've heard the most recent episode. I went to see Sabrina Carpenter.
I did hear this, yes.
And I had to sit with strangers. And the people next to me, I might have mentioned this the other day, that they were trying to manifest the idea that Taylor Swift was going to come out.
Right.
And part of that was one of them looked all the way across the forum to the other side where there's like luxury boxes up top.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took his phone and he zoomed in on his phone and took a picture. And he's like, that's Jason Kelsey, not Travis Kelsey. He's like, that's Jason Kelsey up there. I'm like, first of all, it fucking wasn't. Like, his crazy blurry picture. It looked
that was some teenage girl's dad sitting by himself in a different section, refusing to give his single seat, which was better than the daughter's seats.
Right. It was some executive who has, you know, the luxury box, whatever. Right. But I was like, but what would that even mean if Jason Kelsey is at the show?
You know what
it
means? It means Jason Kelsey's at the show.
Right. It doesn't. But let me. To me, it was so funny, like so off base, that I was like, can I take a picture of your cell phone screen?
You took a photo of his shot.
This is the blob of human he thought was Jason Kelsey.
No.
That's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, is that guy bald?
It's a completely bald guy with a goatee and a pink shirt. As far as I can tell, it might be red, but it looks like a pink shirt. Can you get that on camera? This is now the third generation.
Yeah. That's the Gary Oldman character from this like second Hannibal Lecter movie.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Do you know what I'm talking about, Karen?
Yes.
Was that just called Hannibal?
Maybe it's just called Hannibal.
I can't remember. Yeah, because then they made this Red Dragon and they remade Manhunter.
I have to ask because I was kind of doing a couple things. Yeah. So they thought this was one of the Kelseys.
They thought this was Travis Kelsey's brother, Jason.
Okay, to me, from this distance, that looks like a bald black man.
It looks like
he's definitely bald.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah, yes, there you go. Yes,
exactly. Yes, it does. That's a good. That's a good description. I thought maybe he was Latino, but like definitely. Like the facial hair and bald head looks like someone who's.
It looks like, you know what? It looks like anybody but Jason Kelsey.
And I said this to the guy. I was like, you know, respectfully, Jason Kelsey has hair. And he was like, no, he's got, you could see. I'm like, no, that guy's bald, obviously.
Does Jason Kelsey have hair?
Yeah, he does.
In that cereal commercial, it looks like he does not. But is that because he's wearing a headband?
I think he's got a good
He's got a little, like a flat top kind of, I think.
Yeah, right. he's got.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Anyway,
and a full beard.
I want him off my television.
Wait, do you want him more than Travis off your television?
Yeah, because I don't think Jason brings it the way that they want me to think he does. It's like that the Wall Brothers, whatever they're called.
What guys. What of any of the, you know, it's all, you could blame it all, I guess, on Peyton Manning, who does have some charm. And then after that, they're just like, J.J. Watt. And also,
Watt, that's
like,
what I meant. I said J.J. Wall. J.J. Watt.
You know what I mean? They're all just like, they
or
should.
Gronk. Host. Hey, you know who's funny? Gronk.
He's not.
They should host a shiny floor game show, too. And it's just like, ugh.
I don't know about any of that, but I will reiterate that on Grotesquerie, Travis Kelsey is good. He's a good actor.
You've mentioned that before. And I'm almost ready to watch it just to see if I agree with you, but I don't think I'm going to. I can't explain how much I don't give a shit about that show.
But you want to watch it to have the ammo. You want to have the ammo to disagree with Elliot.
I do. That's really the only motivation I would have.
But there's no reason for him to lie. So I believe you.
I believe you.
I just don't care.
Yeah. Sure. And by the way, is he the best actor? I don't know, but he's...
No, Kim Kardashian is.
But he does a good job.
He was good on SNL, and that's different. That's a totally different type of performing. But
I think he's a natural performer, where I don't think his brother Jason is. I think
he's just standing there.
Jason's a frat guy doing. This is how you do comedy,
dude. His wife is better than him in that whatever that is, a DirecTV, whatever that commercial is they do, where it's like, hey, we can watch four games.
Yeah.
So like his,
you
wife,
know, his wife's really good. Ken Griffey Jr.'s. You ever see those commercials?
No.
Where they're. I forget what it's for, but it's the two of them, and she is clearly not comfortable on camera.
That's, you know, whose wife is really funny?
Who's
is
that?
RFK Jr.
Another star in the Walk of Fame.
Dessert star. Garen, I'm going to give you what I call a credit card. I'm going to send you over to that 7-Eleven we talked about. Uh-huh. Get a couple of monster drinks.
What? Okay.
Just grab a collection of flavors. This orange is going quickly.
I want to give a floor update.
Wait, we have not seen the floor.
I'm not caught up either.
Okay.
I'm several episodes behind. Just want to say that my friend from New York, Jake Young, was a contestant.
Oh.
What was his... Has he come up yet?
He's done.
He's out? Okay.
I was shocked because...
Thank you, Garen.
He did this category where it was like paintings. Oh, boy. And it was like...
Yeah.
What the fuck? How do you know Una Odalisque or whatever?
Yes.
Where I was just so shocked that either of them knew anything beyond Mona Lisa.
Yes.
And right.
American
Starry
God.
Night.
Starry
yeah.
Night.
Yeah.
And then I think he even said he flew too close to the sun and was like, I want to do constellations. And the constellations one was just
that was him.
It was really just hard.
That was really hard.
It was just like dots on a screen just going like, nope, pass.
Yeah, he thought it was going to be like the animal.
The little drawing.
Like a drawing around the stars that you could sort of.
It was rough.
Oh, and I, by the way, you were talking the other day about the state capitals one, and I'm totally with you, man.
I haven't gotten to that yet, okay. but I heard, yeah.
So it's just a square, and you're like, I don't know what square that is. It's not even, it's zoomed in, so it's like you can't see what's around it. You're just like, is that Colorado maybe? Or I don't know what the fuck that is. And the dude was even like, I know all of the, if I thought you were going to say the state and I'd say the capital. I don't know the freaking map picture. Like,
right.
I felt bad for that dude.
I did too, because I think everybody in the room thought it was going to be that.
Yeah.
Either we give you the state capital, you give us the state, or we give you the state and you give us the capital. One of the two.
And I know that makes me sound stupid to say, like, I don't recognize state shapes, but when they're out of context, it's very hard.
It's a little weird.
Like, one thing was like, I was like, oh, that's, I think that's Oregon. And it was like, fucking,
well,
Missouri or something.
I can't, you know, Kansas and Montana and, you know, Wyoming,
North Dakota.
They're all the, you know, they're
rectangles.
They're rectangles.
Yeah.
Just various. Colorado.
Why did we give up on cool borders as we went west?
That's a good question. Well, the cool borders are usually rivers.
Yeah. Why do we, at some point, we're just like, fuck rivers.
Yeah.
Well, there weren't many.
We got that
rivers.
Big Colorado, but we don't use that as a border, do we? It kind of doesn't it go right down the middle of some states?
It goes through Arizona and Nevada and.
The Snake River gets involved somewhere.
I don't really know. I don't know my geography.
River runs through it. I know that.
That is true. Yeah.
Fuck Rivers is the shirt I wear to Weezer concerts.
And how's that go over?
Not well.
They don't care for that.
No.
That makes sense.
Yeah, this is our guy.
What about Chris Cuomo t-shirts there? Do they like that at all?
Right.
Does that play? See, same kind of joke, but it's...
Oh, my God. What is happening?
Somebody doing a...
audition?
A self-tape.
Yeah. That's got to be.
Oh, is there a self-tape studio?
There's an agency across the way that they do have now. One of their offices they've set up
so
as a self-tape.
So if I live there, yeah, I rent this off, I do my self-tapes there.
Yeah, maybe you're my new agent.
You can get rep with that, but you have an agent, though. You don't need that.
I do have an agent, but I mean, whoever is at the window, I always wave at them. Yeah, I don't know Tyler. Why I wave at them.
Oh, that's Tyler. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He could be your agent.
Yeah. Oh, is that the agency?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And that would be him. You would have Tyler.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, he'd love to rep you. There's no question about it. He would take you on in a heartbeat.
Let's make this happen.
Let's do it.
Right now. Let's get it.
Although your rep is doing a nice job for you.
He does okay.
Oh, sounds like you want Tyler. Maybe you want to AB this.
Sit down
with Tyler.
He will never listen to this. So I'll just say that I don't know which way my agent votes. I'll just say that.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean by mail or in person?
Exactly.
Really, in Los Angeles, you're not sure which way.
Oh, I think that's it's not uncommon at all.
I know, but usually you can pretty much tell.
Oh, I don't know.
Is this an old rich white guy?
He's probably old and rich, but he's not white. But I mean, there's a lot of like rich West Hollywood gays that will just not talk about who they vote for because they probably voted for Trump.
Really?
Well, you know, these are like Rick Caruso voting dudes, right. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing that, I mean, I don't want to get all into politics, but like, it's going to take a while to grapple with the idea that that there is no one type of Trump voter anymore. Maybe there never was, but it's a very diverse group.
Yeah,
and it's 74 million people in America. So yeah. Like it's a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds all coming together to ruin our fucking country.
I mean, I've always said their party has diversity, and that's what
that's what we always say about the Republicans.
Yeah. I like all of his cabinet picks so far. I think he's making some really good choices. Yeah. If they decide to make sexual assault legal.
By the way,
if that's the first thing they do, if they make sexual assault legal, they're all covered because every one of them has a sexual assault thing.
Right.
Sure.
All of them, including the woman from the wrestling woman. They all have something.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Mm. Did you hear Matt Gaetz withdrew?
Oh, I did not hear that.
I'm so disappointed. I just heard that.
Oh, I wanted him to be told no.
Yeah.
I wanted the Republicans to have to tell him no.
I think what happened is that he said that he had conversations with people on the Republican side, and I think what they said was like, look, you got to step down or this report's coming
And it's all going to come out, dude.
Yeah, yeah, we can't support you, so just get
it. And he doesn't want it out.
Right.
It's an early L for the administration.
Well, yeah. More to the point, it actually makes me a little more hopeful that the system has still some things. Look, it still has some things working, because that was the whole point. Trump is being the baby who's testing to see whether or not you'll let them walk outside the front door, and somebody closed the front door.
Yeah, and I think the next one to go is the guy from Fox News, because apparently the L.A. police report on that guy's is so bad that they can't, like, they'd look like assholes supporting him. So that said, again, the man who's going to be president is a
it's all kind rapist. Of just like, this is just like moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, you know, like, terrible.
I would prefer, actually, that the clowns get in. I don't want like a Dick Cheney
operator.
Or Karl Rove getting in there. Mm-hmm. I want the lady from professional wrestling who is going to be what, in charge of education?
Mm-hmm.
I want her to go in. Did you get the wrong drink?
I don't. I've never. I wouldn't have picked this one if it was the only one left.
It's holiday time.
What the fuck is this?
What's the flavor?
Ultra Vice Guava.
I got you
I'm
six.
Not kidding. I wouldn't pick this if it was like if I walked in and they went, this is the only sugar-free monster we have left. I'd go, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah. Was it the only one left?
I got you six different kinds, and that one looked new. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll like the new one.
You know what? What am I? There's only one way to find out.
What if it's great?
Did you say Ultra Vice?
Ultra Vice. Garen, take this one away from me. Take this one away from me, Garen.
Is that the song from Sound of Music?
Ultra Vice. Ultra Vice.
Chris, I apologize. My face and then my reaction to this derailed your clown car. Big.
Oh, I just think.
Hang on, I'm going to take a sip.
Oh, yeah. It's
taste test.
Here we go. I'm tasting Ultra Vice Guava.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean by that?
Yes. And we remember Ultra Vice Guava was one of my favorite American Ninja Warriors. So,
it's a good try.
I want to say American Gladiator. That's what I was trying to say.
Boy, do I dislike this.
Well, guava, I've never wanted in liquid form.
Do you want another one? No. I mean, this one has to be. I mean, here's the good news. I just need something to get me through the rest of this show, and it will not be a full can. So this is the perfect one to not have the full can of.
Now I kind of want to taste it.
Yeah, yeah.
Pour a little in that mug. Well.
It is the same color as your shirt, or am I wrong? Pretty close.
But it's got a red top. It's holiday time. I don't know what that was.
I like that Jimmy took his headphones off to reach.
I was tethered.
Oh,
sag. I felt like you were. I felt like you were fancy. Oh God, I don't even like this. The smell of it is crazy. It smells like a tropical sunscreen or something.
Also, two people describe my sport coat as a cardigan, and then I sit down, and on this piece of paper is written the word cardigan.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair.
Oh.
It's in the air.
Mm. It's like a magic trick. I made a prediction as to what you would say.
It is cardigan. What do you think about that?
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I don't hate it. Chris, would you like to try it?
I absolutely would.
How do I get you to try some?
I can sip.
Oh, hang on.
If Matt's done, I'll sip off this.
Yeah, just go off the other side of that.
I should have gone with these.
No, I got it.
Paper cups.
I'm going to get whatever.
Paper cups I would like to try.
I'll get whatever virus Matt got from the people at the concert.
No.
Do not like. My daughter is sick now, so that's a real thing.
Chris, you want to? You're going out of that?
I'm in now.
All right, he's already in.
It's too late. This guy hangs out of bathhouses, you know. This is nothing new for him.
Sometimes at a bathhouse or a sex club, there is a mouthwash station and with those little paper cups. And I always think that's a funny idea that, like, after, when you're done, then you just go, like, freshen up your mouth.
I mean, that makes sense after sucking a dick. It's a good call.
You want a clean cup after eating ass. Yeah. What do you think of that, Elliot?
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but I don't like it. I'm not as mad at it as I was.
I like the
handed.
Beginning of it.
Yeah.
It's got a weird aftertaste, but I think that's the zero sugar element, the artificial sweetener.
Yeah, but I'm used to that.
Yeah, that's so the that thing. You drink Monster all the time. I'm not used to
it. No, I drink a lot of sugar. It's not that. It's the beginning is actually very good. The middle is too thick. And that's what I said at the bathhouse.
Yeah, that's the same thing, right? Very good. Yep. Now rinse your mouth, Phil. Chris, you were going off on some political tangent. You want to finish it?
Well, I'll just say that the lady from wrestling, what I really want is the lady from wrestling to go into her office at the DOE in D.C. and just, like, look her around at these, like, lifelong bureaucrats that are just like, okay, well, you're the Secretary of Education now. Let's get to work. And she just be like, nah, I don't want to do this. And she just leaves.
Yeah.
And then there's no way she's showing up to her, like, weekly Zoom meeting where she has to talk about allocating funds to state education. She'd just be like, whatever. And then they all just, like, go do their job.
Yeah.
Like the shitty boss that isn't there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. I like that idea.
I thought that about Dr. Oz, too. Like, there's no fucking way he wants this job. It's an actual job. It's
yeah,
not
they're
like
all
a,
real jobs.
It's not
yeah.
like a vanity thing. It's just like, no, you have to work to do this. Like, why would you want to do this?
But I don't want
to
even charge of Medicare and Medicaid. It's like,
I don't either, but.
Oh, don't worry. They're going to get rid of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
worry about that. I don't want him to be part of that.
That's the sick joke, is that they're putting him in charge of it to just oversee them killing it. And he's not going to have anything. He doesn't know how to do that. He's just going to be standing there going, yeah, we did it, and take credit
right.
for it.
And now take these pills. It'll clean out your colon.
The reason I don't think he's going to help get rid of Medicare and Medicaid is that I feel like that's his demographic.
Like, that's kind
aren't
of a
those
good point.
His fans?
Yeah, but those fans also voted to get rid of that. Unknowingly, they voted for that.
They don't know what they voted for.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah. And they're about to have a rude fucking uprising.
Yeah.
Awakening.
Thank you.
Well, they got most uprisings are rude.
I'm very tired because I'm drinking the wrong monster drink to wake me up.
I will be.
That orange sucks, too.
I will be in D.C. on January 6th.
That a boy. Why are you going to be there?
I'm doing like a. It's a very cool thing. I'm doing like this artist incubator thing at the Kennedy Center. Huh? But I will be in walking distance of the White House if anyone else wants to join me on January 6th. I do think it'd be hilarious if we also did an insurgency on January 6th.
I told you what you should do. Go there and put up new windows.
Yeah, that's Jimmy's. I think it's a great idea.
But
I love the idea.
But Chris, the big question is, will it be wild?
Just say yes.
Yeah. That was what Trump said.
We know that's what he said. You wedge it in.
I was just looking at maybe it was an in joke from previous discussion.
It is not. It's no. What Trump said. He said, yeah. Be there on Jan 6th. It's going to be wild.
It will be wild.
Yeah. Hmm. And it was. And then people voted for him again. So it's working out.
Did you see that people are trying to get inauguration tickets so they can jack the prices up and sell them to MAGA people for thousands of dollars?
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Who's doing that?
That's a fun idea.
I don't know. Somebody's done. They're getting tickets on Elizabeth Warren through her page.
Oh, so you're saying libs are doing this?
Yeah,
to try to sell to red hats. You know what?
That's for Taylor Swift prices.
Love it.
That's a fun idea because even if you don't sell them, then you've contributed to an empty seat in the mm-hmm. thing, yeah. which is nice too. So like it's a win-win.
Yep.
Either you make money or it looks kind of half empty.
So that's a good question. So his first inauguration, which I'm told was the biggest attendance of all time.
It was the biggest crowd that's ever been assembled.
Will it be more or less than that first time?
It will be, according to him, even more.
Yeah.
according to reality.
But will it be?
No.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it will be. Well, again, his rallies were getting less and less.
Yeah.
So will this be like, we've heard it before. We don't need to be there. We don't need to.
I agree with that.
He did get more votes this time, but I mean, that's kind of neither here nor there, I guess.
I think people just kind of checked out on the rallies. They're just like, I'm voting. I already
know I'm voting. Right.
Also, I think to a degree, people were also just voting against this woke sure. homo world that we were pushing.
Yeah.
Your words.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing about Kamala. She couldn't stop talking about those issues. Every right. speech, every time I turn it on, that's all she was talking about. Wait a minute. She didn't fucking talk about it at all.
Not once.
I actually did see a pretty insightful skeet, Jimmy.
I'm not a fan.
They were actually voting against Democratic voters.
Yeah,
not against her.
Yeah, they're voting, trying to own the libs, which is all they ever care about.
They're voting to like hurt the so like even though she never mentioned trans issues and kind of backed away from it, they were actually voting against all the people that support her. Yeah. Which I buy.
Yep. That makes sense. It's the same reason I don't go see Dave Matthews. I don't want to be with those people. I want to hear Dave Matthews.
Oh, you would like a Dave Matthews
but I don't
concert.
Want to be with that group of folks.
Mm-hmm. I felt that way between the first and second times I saw Tenacious D. I saw Tenacious D at the Mercury Lounge. You. Well, I mean, I was early in on Tenacious yeah. D when they were doing those.
I think that's a fair statement.
10-minute things after Mr. Show.
Yeah.
And I saw them at the Mercury Lounge. And then I saw in New York. And then I saw at like another venue, like Irving Plaza, that's like three times as big.
Right.
And this was like a 6-month period. Mm-hmm. The second time I saw them. They did the thing where they're like, we don't mind sucking on toes. And then when they did that, the crowd went like.
Yeah, they do that.
And I was like, oh, like we're this kind of crowd now. Mm. And all of the like ironic, like we have sex with ladies and stuff. I was like, we're not being as ironic as we were 6 months ago.
No, people were treating it. And it's gotten even worse now. Like they're playing, you know, festivals where there's like, you know, 50,000-60,000 people in front of them. And it's just like a regular rock show. There's no sense of this is comedy.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
By the way, it's not comedy. That gentleman made a statement on stage that broke that band up.
Right.
That gentleman made a statement.
Yeah,
that was very disappointing.
It was ridiculous.
Jack Black, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I have to assume he was doing that for the safety of his crew and everyone else, like because there was I think it was a difficult situation in the moment.
Safety of his wallet so that Disney didn't bail on him.
Yeah. Wait, does safety of a special
Minecraft
thing
movie.
Yeah.
Does the website still exist? Like the forum?
Mine?
Yeah.
No.
Like, oh damn, we can't go on to a special thing? Dot no. Was it com or
yeah
then?
It was .com. I got them both, baby.
And like discuss the I wish we could.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot of talk about it. Well, I know on Reddit there was a lot of people mm-hmm. who were mad at Jack Black, but I was one of those people at all those shows.
That, yeah.
Like I agree. It was like it wasn't people there going, "Hey, I think this is a funny bit." It was
right.
like, "No, I actually think this." And I like their songs, but I also think it's weird to treat them like a real band.
Let's just say with Spinal Tap would be all of a sudden yeah. Spinal Tap's doing a concert. It's like no,
yeah,
that's they're a fake comedy band. You can't really go right. see them as if they're a real band.
Mm-hmm.
But
which I also did that. They played House of Blues and a similar kind of thing. Although they do a lot of banter between the songs. That's basically comedy,
right?
And I think hopefully more people are like, yeah, I get what this is.
Band of Horses, also a band that I saw, and I was like, ooh, I don't like this crowd.
And that's a familiar with the crowd.
Horses? Do you know Band of Horses?
I know the name. I don't really know the music.
It's there from the 2000 rock era where like all those bands are forgotten now. Like mm-hmm. Modest Mouse and all those
people. Yeah.
Like literally no one talks about any of those bands anymore.
Nobody ever talks about Band of Horses.
Yeah.
Franz Ferdinand.
What about the Decemberists? Do people still talk about them? I think people still talk about
them. Death Cab and Postal Service, I don't know if I missed it or not, but they're doing that thing where they play the whole album. They're doing Hollywood Bowl, and they're playing the whole Postal Service Give Up album like in a row. And I think it sold out like three nights at Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
That was a summer.
I missed it.
Jenny Lewis put on Blue Sky the other day, who's the best band from the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the guy from Gaslight Anthem, is that the name of the outfit? said The Killers. And everybody came after him and said, better than the Foo Fighters? And he said, absolutely. And then people said, well, what about your own band? He goes, I'm telling you, it's The Killers. And people go, no, you guys are better. No, we're not. The Killers are the best band of 30 years. And then people go like, I think it's the Foo Fighters. I'm telling you it's not for this reason. And he just was behind the idea that it's The Killers. Mm-hmm. And he stood his ground.
Yeah. There's no way it's Foo Fighters.
Right.
Yeah.
They fucking suck. I have never been more bored by a band than trying to get into the
Foo
Fighters.
I agree with you, dude. I like, tried.
Trying to like, what's this Monkey Wrench song? Blah, blah, blah. And then watching like, this video is funny. I don't know. What the fuck?
Good for you, Chris, for finally saying it. We finally can. Dave Grohl's done enough where we can now finally say something negative about
him. What did he do? He had an affair or something?
He had an affair.
Yeah.
I think he knocked up his daughter's friend.
Oh, is that what it was? Is that specific?
I don't know. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's the actual story. But
I don't hate him for that. I'm fine with. I think his band music sucks.
It's the same with me and Ted Nugent.
Uh-huh.
I hate his music. I like him as an American.
That's right. Dave Grohl's the same as Ted Nugent.
Do you think that Kid Rock gets a position? Do you think he's that dumb to give that guy something?
Oh, man.
Yeah, he could.
I mean, poet laureate.
It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Wow, they will have to assign a poet laureate.
Did he do one last time? I feel like he might not have bothered.
I think there was one.
Who would it be? Dice Clay?
Maybe Jim Yubo is I don't think Jim goes that way.
But,
yeah.
Yep. I think his boat floats a different river.
Hey.
How are we doing? I don't know how to talk with rivers.
What if he just like went totally the other way and like hired like an extremely like equivalent of like Maya Angelou? Like just like, wait, what? Like
this
esteemed progressive poet is the poet laureate.
I could see him doing it for the credit so that people would talk about that he's not all that bad.
Yeah.
But his cult would go crazy if it's not a white man. Like anything that could be perceived as like a what they call a DEI hire would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're all DEI hires.
They're not qualified, so.
Did Dave Barry ever do poems in his humorist columns?
Oh, or what about the guy who created Dilbert?
Come
up with some couplets.
That's a good call.
I'm surprised that guy isn't involved with the efficiency.
Right.
Like.
Because he did some cartoons about
Dilbert's
workplace.
Because Dilbert was always about like the
inefficiency of a bureaucracy. Yeah.
Was Dilbert the one they made into a sitcom starring Fred Savage? Was that
there was a sitcom of it? Yeah.
I never saw that.
And Dana Gould, I want to say, was in it. Or was that just the pilot?
I think there was an animated one and then maybe also a live action one.
There was a live action. I auditioned for it and it came down to between me and Dana Gould for the role. Whoa. And Dana got it. And I don't know if it went to series or if it was just a pilot.
I don't remember
if it was Dilbert or if it was for another Office.
Right, like another comic strip became a thing, yeah.
And were you up for Dilbert?
Dilbert, I want to say, was Fred Savage.
Oh, for three. Yes, yeah.
It was the cubicle next to his.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Who did all the funny stuff. The script was really, really funny.
Hmm.
Was it Dilbert? What do you got, Garen?
There was a pilot, but it has like Daniel Jenkins was Dilbert, Penn Jillette was Dogbert, Julie Haggerty was in it.
Well, is that the animated one?
Maybe it wasn't Dilbert. Another Office.
This is a live action pilot.
Huh.
Well, maybe just look up Fred Savage since we know that part is.
And I don't know if we do.
Oh, okay.
I think we do.
Hmm.
But, or maybe, no, he starred on Working. right? That was another Office thing. So maybe I'm conflating working and whatever.
Maybe.
And maybe that's what Dana Gould was on.
It was Edward Furlong.
Why does he get brought up?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Trying to think of another like, youngish.
Go to Dana Gould. Dana Gould's the way to go.
What was the one where Pete Holmes went to India?
What?
A sitcom where he maybe outsourced? Was that Pete Holmes? That
was something.
Pete Holmes is starring in the new the greatest Christmas pageant ever movie with Judy Greer.
Really?
Oh, you haven't seen that trailer?
No.
Dude.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's one of those Christian movies that's like, but it's not like a Fathom Event level Christian movie. It's like real. It's really being released.
Is he going to take brain pills and talk about meditation?
It's one of those ones where it's like the guy falls through the ice and then has the, you know, it's a legit movie.
It's
but
an actual
they
movie.
Market it as a Christian movie.
But it very clearly is.
Yeah.
It's because
it could like pass through those websites, you know, where they like say, here's an edited version for Christian people, and they would have no edits in it.
Right. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. We have no notes. Perfect. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that apparently the president doesn't directly appoint the poet laureate. It is the Librarian of Congress.
Huh? All right. So maybe that'll be Kid Rock.
Does World on a String?
Doesn't mean a thing to me.
Oh, okay. Librarian of Congress would be J.K. Rowling.
Good call. Except she's English. So.
I love the idea of it being Kid Rock.
But that's not, I think she could still be.
Is that okay? It doesn't matter. I don't think she lives in England.
Right.
You don't think she has a dual residency?
She might have she's rich. She's got to have a place in every city, right?
Mm.
New York, at least.
She's got a couple of bucks.
She's great.
She's great.
She's really doing the Lord's great. Work.
Anything, Aaron?
No, that was the 1997 pilot with Dana Gould and Padgett Brewster was called World on a String.
You know what?
Anything else?
It must have been that then.
And there's no description.
Then why would I think
it.
That was about Dilbert? Because it had to be that.
Hmm. This is something that can only be solved by you asking Dana Gould. What was that?
Well,
thing?
Wait, but also like not every pilot gets listed in IMDb.
Right.
Also, it was the same year as the Dilbert pilot. This
maybe I just
but it would it would have to go to like make it into IMDb. By go, I mean
not necessarily.
Right. But there's some wonkiness about you could have worked on something that never
got
or Dana Gould could have worked on something.
A sitcom pilot from Dana Gould, which he describes as Seinfeld set in the universe of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
The description is, it's like I'm sort of like Dilbert.
Maybe just Google Dilbert Dana Gould.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, nothing. Maybe, again, it may not have been Dilbert. Whatever the script was really great. That's that's what I'll say.
I remember being surprised at how much I liked that Geico Caveman sitcom.
What?
That Nick Kroll was on, right?
Yeah, I was like, this is actually pretty funny.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever watched it.
That was my memory of it.
I remember not enjoying it and then not continuing with it.
Well, I mean, also, you watch a lot more comedies than I do.
Like, do I?
I feel like y'all are up on comedies. I don't know.
What?
People like, always ask me, like, what sitcoms are you watching? I'm like, I actually don't watch that many. I'm not...
Well, there's not many on.
Yes.
And the ones that are on, in my opinion, fail to meet the com part.
I mean, they fail to they fulfill the brief.
They have situations.
I mean, what about the bear? That was
hysterical. I mean, other than the bear being hysterical.
Other than the bear.
But the ones that are lauded as the funniest shows on TV right now, I personally do not find all that funny.
I enjoyed English Teacher.
I did, too. That would be the one that I enjoyed.
I would also say it's not really a comedy, but... If people want to use a VPN to watch a BBC show, there's a show called Ludwig.
That's for David Mitchell.
It's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're currently watching High Potential as well, which is surprisingly more in the genre that it's from, which is like a murder mystery network.
That's Caitlin Olsen?
Caitlin Olsen.
That's not a comedy, though.
No, I wouldn't. But she's kind of funny in it throughout.
Yeah,
I wanted it to be more on the comedy side.
Me too, and it's not.
And it's more like that genre.
Yeah.
And what's funny is then those genres always have a comic relief character that's like the mortician or the the tech, you know, data person or whatever.
Yeah, the quirky person in the office.
They always have, and sometimes they have scenes that are like straight up like, what is this weird
goofy scene right.
happening in the middle of like a bloody naval murder mystery, right. and then the IT dude is just like, "Well, you didn't start your computer again, did you? I told you you should."
Remember that was in what was Jennifer Garner's first thing? Alias.
Yeah.
Then they would go to the IT guy, and he would be the quirky nerd who would mm-hmm. like really. A second ago, she's kicking ass, and a guy's losing his face, and now it's this guy doing this, and they're all rolling his eyes at his yeah. antics,
right?
And what was that? That
and then they're like, Bradley Cooper's so ugly in this show.
He's ugly. He was the ugly one of the two.
Give me the French dude.
What was his name? Matt?
Michael Vartan.
Michael Vartan. She yeah. broke his heart.
Hmm. The handsome one.
The guy. I think the guy, what they call in the Marvel world, the guy in the chair.
Yes.
Which is like the funny mm-hmm. guy who's just back in the office on a computer going, all right, you're in.
Right.
yeah. Wait, I'm in.
Was Brian Posehn like specifically a guy in chair in a movie? like,
oh, I feel like he must have been.
Might have been in a movie where like the name of the character was like guy in chair.
But I'm going to guess that in Alias it was Greg Gutfeld. Is that no.
Oh, Gutfeld.
It was not. It was a. It was an odd looking dude.
Okay.
Right.
Because Greg Gutfeld.
He's in every
J.J. Abrams.
Yes, he is.
Greg Grunberg.
Grunberg. Yeah.
I think Marshall Flinkman.
Yes. Okay. That is.
Is the guy you're thinking of
from Alias?
Yes.
Yeah. He's an odd looking dude.
Yes.
Yeah. It's on Disney Plus now, and I am probably going to rewatch it because the last season of that show is just so bonkers.
The first two seasons are great.
It's terrific. Yeah. And like in that world of like the way Battlestar was great for three seasons, and then just the ending is like the ending of Alias is just so insane.
I quit on it way before I got to that point. I remember, I don't know what was happening, but I have a vivid memory of she was crawling down a, you know how like, and this is very similar to Lost, actually, where there's like, you know, you open a hatch and then there's a ladder that goes down a tube in mm-hmm. underground. She was going down that. And I was just like, I am out. Like, I don't know why that was.
You were just so against,
like, I deeply felt this is it for me.
You're against hatches. You just don't like.
Or maybe it was a cave. She was going down into something and I was like, I am absolutely done with this show.
I've realized this year that I have, I think it's called like thasylophobia or something. Where just fear of like the ocean and like I do have this like phobia of like being in the ocean with like a big creature near me.
Yes. You
know, like like the thought of like in the dark, a whale eye like opening up next to me is like terrifying. And now on TikTok, there are these people doing like thasylophobia horror videos, like generated things of like you're in a cave and there's a big lake and then suddenly like this. But I'm transfixed by them. I also kind of want to watch them.
Yeah.
And then I watch in TikTok, you can hit the comments and it brings up a little panel of the comments and you can kind of hide. And then every time I do it, someone in the comments is like, not you hiding in the comments. So you see a little sliver of the video, but I've realized I have that. That's like my only phobia.
Is it watching them? Does that help you get over this?
I'm just fascinated. Like I get scared at horror movies, but I want to watch every single one as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm scared of that. Like, I want to see that Heretic movie. It seems fun.
Oh, it's good.
But I think I'll be scared in it.
No, you will not be.
Didn't you say it's more of a thriller?
Yeah, it's a thriller. Yeah. It's very good.
Okay.
It's very good. If Danielle could sit through it and like it, you can.
I mean, I was scared watching The Substance.
I did not see The Substance. Garen Cockrell did, and he loved it.
It's terrific.
It's movie of the year, from Garen says.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
You said it was.
What's
a movie of the year, then, if it's not that?
I haven't thought about that yet.
Don't say Anora.
No. Okay.
I liked Anora.
I did like Anora, but it's not.
Wait, have either of you guys seen A Real Pain yet?
No, I want to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. You saw it?
No, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's really good.
We were going to see it. We were supposed to see it, and then we saw Anora because it wasn't out. Then we were going to see it. And then, of course, this weekend is Wicked Weekend.
So yeah, you guys got your tickets?
We do not. We have to figure out what time we're seeing it.
We're going tomorrow. Eric wants to go at a time when kids will not be there. So we're going to go try to go.
Good idea.
Did you hear that they had to put up signs to say no singing?
Oh, I mean,
specifically in the Philippines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
I thought it was everywhere. I thought it was because.
Actually,
like,
I disagree with that. I think if you're in the Philippines, you should be allowed to sing.
It was their choice, not mine. Philippines, Chris. I'm just reporting the news.
Is generating the strongest singers in the world.
Well, I mean,
Arnold Pineda, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they will have a sing-along
showing. That is on the sign. The sing-along is on the 25th of December.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And then, every show in the Philippines, you should be able to sing. It's like going to Cooperstown saying no baseball.
But look, if you go to a Broadway show, you don't want people singing along.
I don't. Not if I'm in the Philippines.
you welcome it to the Philippines.
Lea Salonga.
Yeah.
Other people. There's a lot of people where I'm like, they're a really good singer, and then you find out that they have some kind of Filipino background, and it's like, yes, like they, whatever their culture is, people are encouraged to sing. We find all the best singers, and then we export them around the world.
Was the guy from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, was he part Filipino?
Oh, I don't. I think he might be, actually. Vinny Rodriguez, I think. I think he is.
That might be his name.
Whenever I see someone Asian and they have a Latino last name, I'm like, Philippines.
Must be, yeah.
Great singer. Great singer. That's what I say. Don't hide their light behind a bushel.
And you have your tickets, Matt, for
Wicked? No, I need to figure it out. Zoe's going with friends tonight.
Good for her.
And I should have just bought tickets for the rest of our family that, like, to line up with that so that we could just give her a ride home. But now there's no seats left in that show.
She wants to go with her friends.
No, I know. I wasn't going to sit with her. I was just going to say, like, at least we could.
You were going to get your own seat, better seat, not switch with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sit next to a guy and be like, oh, that's Jason Kelsey. Yeah. They'd be like, no, that's Charles Barkley at the AMC Burbank.
That's my school principal. That's who that is.
By the way, they're doing a weird thing in the IMAX theater only has one showing a day of Wicked.
Yeah, why? What's that about?
I don't understand why. Maybe the other ones are. Is there some other big movie?
Gladiator 2.
Oh, there you go.
And Wicked is 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Right.
So.
Yeah. If I were a theater, I'd bet on Wicked over Gladiator 2.
I would, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Gladiator 2 is going to be a bust.
Is Charlie interested in Wicked?
No, he's just going to get dragged along.
Oh, okay.
I don't think anybody's really interested in it. I think it's kind of a have to.
The feedback, like the fact that it's all the reviews seem to say it's great. It kind of makes me feel obligated to see it.
Also, are any of your children driving at this point? Like, do you have to take them everywhere? What is with this generation?
I know.
They don't have to drive. And also, in car insurance is really expensive.
It's crazy.
But like, I mean, my nieces also resisted getting licenses for so long. It's very
well
strange.
When you have two people in your life who drive you everywhere, I could see being like, yeah, why would I give this up? This
but if
like
I was the parent, I'd be like, I'm fucking sick of driving you everywhere.
Oh, we are.
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, again, car insurance is really, really expensive.
If I had kids, there'd be a lot of points where we'd be like, I'm fucking sick of you. Get the fuck out.
You may not be cut off for fatherhood then.
No, I'm definitely not. You get in that Waymo and I'll see you later.
Nah.
Waymo. Waymo just started in LA. I'm excited.
Yeah. I was behind one the other day. And then next to it, and it was freaky. It was like to look over and be like, oh yeah, there's literally no one in that.
I want to get in one and not talk to anybody. You know, I want to lay down because I don't generally love Uber chats with people.
Oh, I hate them.
I wanted to bring this up because I was, I navigated here from my place in East Hollywood today, and I did my Apple Maps. And he said 39 minutes. I'm like, what? That's like much longer than it normally is. And I was actually going to be late. And then I realized I had it set to avoid highways. So then I reset it and it was 18 minutes or something. And the reason I had it set to avoid highways was I did Paul Gilmartin's podcast 2 days ago. And I rode my brand new electric scooter from East Hollywood to his house, which is in, like, it might be around here. I don't know. It's in the valley. So I navigated to go there not on a highway. So I rode my electric scooter up Cahuenga Boulevard, over the hill.
What are you doing?
Made a left on Barham.
So were you going like 2 miles an hour at one point doing that?
No, it's a decent scooter. It's got a little boost that can
But
do.
Weren't you frightened the entire time?
No, I was on Cahuenga. A guy honked at me for no reason in that way. When I've ridden bikes around LA before where they're just being assholes.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me an hour to get there.
You're wearing a helmet?
I have a helmet,
yeah, yes. Safety first.
Yes. But it was actually I was very impressed with myself that I got from, you know, Hollywood, East Hollywood to the Valley and then was on Cahuenga, which turns into, I guess, Ventura. Saturday when I was like, mm-hmm. I love this podcast because we talk about directions all the time.
That's what you love about it.
Jimmy did not like me saying that at the Go Back Yourself thing. I just remember what I said in the show was that, like, I came to L.A. and then all the references you guys talk about, I'm like, oh, I live here now. I know the Zanko chicken and that kind of stuff that they're talking about. And Jimmy did not take kindly to that.
Man, you said you liked the show, but it sounds like it was a nightmare for you.
Let me say this. I did not reveal all of this stuff because I felt that maybe some show should be revealed on the show.
Yeah.
That some of the comedy should be saved for when people listen to the episode.
I gotcha.
Because what Chris is exaggerating, there was comedy involved in what has happened.
So did you get to Paul's house and immediately have to plug this thing in? Like, or did you have enough battery to go back and forth?
100% to 57%.
That's almost half.
To get there or all the way?
No, I had enough to get back, but then my husband was able to pick me up. We have one car, so it was available at that point.
Gotcha.
And that's why I got the scooter in the first place, was I have a lot of things where it's like, man, I wish I could just not spend $21 on an Uber just to go to an audition.
Like, so you're taking the scooter to the auditions?
Yeah, I'll take one to the audition. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, I should get a scooter for Zoe, but I'm so scared of not her, but the drivers on the road. I don't trust them. And it just seems like an accident waiting to happen.
So, I mean, I had a bike in New York when I lived there. So I rode a bike through Manhattan and stuff like that. So I think I have a little bit more. It is dangerous.
Well, like, you're an adult who's taking responsibility for your own safety. But like, for her, I'm just like, I don't feel good about that. Like, and she had no interest in that either. She's not, so, she's not like, please, can I have a scooter? So
right.
Like, she's, no, give me a ride. Like, that's what she wants. And by the way, she gets a lot of, I should say this, she gets a lot of rides from friends' parents. So, like, it's not like it's all on us, but.
Unfortunately, the Waymo range, I don't think includes you.
I've never seen one.
It's a very small range.
I'll say this about the Waymo. I was stuck behind one the other day, and it was to make a right turn. And if you're behind a human being waiting for a right turn, they know how to time. Oh, I can make this right turn without the Waymo waits till there's no cars around to make that turn. Because whatever technology they're using, they you know, whereas if it's you, you go, oh, I could zip in.
Yes.
Or that guy's going to see that I'm zipping out. He's going to slow down.
Slow as well.
Whereas the Waymo, like, so you're behind it, like, literally waiting for no cars. Mm. Then he goes.
Yeah.
That was in the beginning of WALL-E in the apocalypse. Eventually, like, the world goes to dust and rubble, and then a Waymo made that right turn.
That's what it was. Speaking of making a right turn, let's go around the horror.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Garrett! Damn it. It was right at you.
Jimmy goes around the
Garrett sucks. Hey, follow up on this. I don't hate the guava, but I'll never get it again. Mm-hmm. It is not a go-to in the future. But we check in with Garrett Cockrell. He's over there at the Pop Culture Beats Info Desk, sponsored by Kennedy Todd. Head over to Kennedy Todd, use promo code PARDO, and get 25% off. And we discovered that the heavyweight hoodie is not available yet.
It is now.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I just placed my order yesterday.
Oh, fantastic. All right, so get in there and take advantage of both the lightweight, the 5.5, as well as the 8.0. Get in there and take advantage of those various hoodies. Garrett, what's going on in your world that we need to know about?
Not much.
There it is.
Yeah. I'm watching High Potential.
Oh, you're watching it as well.
I'm rapidly turning into an elderly woman with my television viewing habits.
Yeah.
Matlock.
You like the Matlock with Kathy Bates?
I do enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's some parts of it that I'm like, they need to get rid of this person or do something there. But she's great, and it's harmless.
Garen, they say it's her final project, then she's retiring from acting. What do you think? You think she sticks around?
I think that this will probably be her.
This is her swan song?
Yeah, she might come back in a few years for like an Oscar Beatty movie.
Pun intended. The name.
But yeah, I think, especially if this goes, it's already renewed, so.
People are loving it.
I'm enjoying it.
Yes.
You're watching it as well.
Yeah. And so does Irma. She likes it.
I remember some chatter of there was a big surprise that was coming. Has that happened yet? Don't tell me what it is, but
it's Taylor Swift.
It's not a surprise, but it's like a twist, little twisty thing.
It happens early.
Yeah. Was it just
happening in Andy Griffith's head?
Was it just the thing that in the world of the show Matlock exists? Was it that thing?
Kind of.
It ties to that a little bit, but it's not some ground huge thing. It's just an interesting sort of.
All right.
Just know twist. That she's Matlock, but she's not Matlock in a way.
All right. Well,
what the fuck? That's crazy.
So she's a fraud. She's pretending to be something.
I'm not gonna say anymore.
I'm gonna start watching it tonight.
You really should, because this is like
it's right up my alley.
Yeah, 100%.
I agreed.
So they're capturing the magic of the classic detective shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Garen,
lawyer. with a modern angle.
Garen, are you having sex?
Am I?
Yeah.
At this moment?
Or are you just watching these TV shows?
Oh no.
This is why we have Chris here, so he can ask the questions we're embarrassed at.
I'm just like, Garen, are you just becoming June Squibb watching your...
that is the goal.
But you're Thelma.
I'm Thelma. That just came out on Hulu. I want to watch it.
It's good.
I've heard it's good. There's been some banging around, if that's what you're really asking about.
Hey, see, we get to the good
stuff.
Did
it happen in New York? Did you get some banging in New York? Is that how you got sick? Use the mouthwash.
That's right. No, there wasn't any banging around in New York.
Good for you.
There was a lot of looking, but you're banging
in the valley, though, huh?
Yeah, I've got my friends in town, and we've fooled around a little bit, and yeah,
love it. Good for you.
Do you?
Why wouldn't I?
That's true.
Why wouldn't I like you having fun?
Yeah,
enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Why? It's good for your mental health.
The wick's getting dipped. Is the end?
Yeah.
Great. I don't care for that. No.
Nope.
Turns out, I'm back out.
I'm still in.
But when set it on fire.
But when
at some
people
point.
Say like, "What's going on this week?" Just be like, "Yeah, I dipped my wick."
Yeah. I'm with you, Chris. All I get is that's why I said there it is. We always get the not much.
How about just like a 90s rapper, if you've gotten some action, roll one of your pant legs up to indicate I have had sex.
Oh, is that what that means?
That's what it supposedly used to mean, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Remember
so
that
Tom
was
Sawyer and Huck Finn just fucking all the time.
Yes, both. They were both top and bottom. That's why they had both rolled up.
I did go to Amoeba and got hosed.
Wait, now in context, what does that mean?
The bad way.
You brought a bunch of DVDs.
No, there's a vinyl.
You brought vinyl.
Like, I was expecting to walk out of there with $250 plus.
And they gave you?
$95 cash. I almost didn't take it.
How much would it be for credit?
Yeah.
$127.
So they give you $100.
Yeah.
You almost didn't take it, but you took it because the idea of carrying that vinyl back to your car. And they know that.
Yeah.
You're bringing in three boxes. Mm-hmm. They know you don't want to leave with those three boxes.
Yeah, and they didn't take a few of them, too, which were...
You know what I always say? Keep them. I'm not walking out of here with anything.
Just throw it on the ground.
You throw it the fuck away.
Yeah, you've got recycling of some kind, don't you?
Yeah, or put a 25-cent thing on this thing.
Yeah.
I feel like y'all always complain that you don't get enough at Amoeba, though. Like, why do you keep going? Or do you have times where you're like, oh...
Yes.
I got way more than
never.
Okay.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
At Amoeba.
Yeah.
No.
There's a place down the street over here that did a pretty good job.
Who are you pointing at?
I'm pointing at the place. Wait, actually, it's this way.
Yeah, that's why I got confused.
Anyway, yeah.
Freak Beat?
I think so.
On Ventura Boulevard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember there was a bunch of things here, and we thought they were worth nothing, and they gave me, I don't know, $25 or $30.
I believe that those places will give you more because they know that most people just bring things to Amoeba and their inventory is lacking. So when somebody shows up with a nice collection, they give you some money because they respect.
Yeah, I should have done
the
that.
Inventory.
And they want you to make that your record store.
Yeah.
Yes.
The smaller place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Should have done that.
Yeah, you screwed up. You really, what was the thing? You swallowed the mouse or you flushed the mouse?
Yeah. Flushed the mouse.
Oh, you know, we got mentioned on that guy's podcast.
Really?
Tony Kornheiser. A fan of our show, wrote into them to say, it's completely out of context, mm-hmm. so it sounds like we are quoting the show,
mm-hmm.
but we're quoting a guy who used the expression in the LPGA Tour Fantasy League chat
mm-hmm.
about how Ron, who really fucked up, how he flushed the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
The guy wrote in saying, hey, they mentioned you on Never Not Funny, he's saying you flushed the mouse. And so, oh, thank you, Jimmy, really appreciate the shout out. We were giving him a shout out.
Right.
That's where it originated.
But we tricked him into giving us a shout out.
Hey.
So.
Yeah.
The system works.
But not really.
Yeah, kind
of. But not really.
Did they say Never Not Funny or just Jimmy?
Yeah, they said Jimmy Barr, the Never Not Funny podcast, gave you
great.
A shout
I'll
out.
I'll take it.
But
Tony Kornheiser is the...
Pardon the interruption.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently his podcast is very fun.
Oh.
I'm told it's similar to this and that I would like it. And for that reason, I don't listen to it. I do this. I don't need to listen to this.
I enjoy him. I heard that the show's ending, PTI, which is, it's been on for 20 years or something.
I haven't watched it in forever, but I loved the list of topics.
Yeah, it was very nice.
That was an innovation for me.
It was great because you could just be like, oh, I don't give a shit about these things. I'm just going to go make a sandwich and I'll come back.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice midday viewing for me. Or was.
Nobody's taking it over? He's just going away?
I think it's just ending. I think they're ending it.
I think that whole world is now in the, like, Pat McAfee Barstool direction. And those guys are great. you know.
There's always the one or two guys over there that are great that they that world needs to point out. It's almost like the blue collar thing. Well, you know, Ron White's really funny.
Right.
It's the same with the Barstool guys. Like, yeah. You know, well, so-and-so is actually... Yeah, but I don't need to go through that haystack to find the one good
guy.
Well,
it's like Stavros is in that world of, like, Come Town and,
Theo Vaughn.
Yeah, exactly. But Stavros is, like, pretty smart and actually pretty progressive. But he's, like, this little jewel in this field of shit, kind of. Theo Vaughn getting thanked by Dana White. I think it's wild.
Yeah. Somebody posted yesterday on Blue Sky, is there anybody dumber in the world than Theo Vaughn? And then it's Theo Vaughn asking a question. But I'm confused by Theo Vaughn because I don't know if he's truly dumb asking that question or is he being that character asking that question?
I read him as genuine, but I mean, like, that doesn't...
Oh, so you think he's dumb?
Yes.
I was giving him credit. I was giving him credit of...
I mean, there's the rumor. There's the rumor on this like Dan Soder podcast. There's a rumor that like Theo Vaughn will like do a show at the like Chicago Theater and pay his openers $150 or something.
Oh, then he's an asshole.
Yeah, that came up on a Dan Soder Louis Gomez discussion or whatever.
I have learned that you know Jackie and Lori are very much in that world and where they somehow know. What people are paying their openers at these various gigs. Mm-hmm. And I think it's under the guys of, you know, Maria and Brian Regan pay very well. Mm-hmm. They recognize the fact that they're at the Chicago Theater making crazy money, then going on their bus to the next city, and that they, you know, if Laurie Kilmartin's or Jackie's willing to open for them, they should be compensated. Mm-hmm. And then there are others at that same level that will do that. They'll pay you $100 because they think, you know, when else are you going to be performing for 3,000 people? And I think that's horseshit. I think that if you're making $25,000, you can pay $2,500 to your opener minimum. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it.
Question for that I forgot to ask you Saturday, and you don't have to say the numbers, but what's your like philosophy when you do a weekend somewhere in terms of tipping out the staff? Because I headlined in Houston and I was kind of like, oh, I've never tipped out staff.
Depends what you're getting, what the staff is doing for you,
right?
You know, if you're dipping your wick, you know obviously the tip is going to be higher
if you're using the mouthwash.
I mean, it depends. It depends if what you know.
Wouldn't that be the tip?
Well, the wick tip depends on how much you're putting in.
Wick tip.
Yeah.
I was at a club and
it's always involved.
I mean, just the tip.
Yeah, that's just the tip. Yeah.
I was at a club and I headlined and I made a certain amount of money and I tipped out a certain amount. And then
were they serving you drinks in the green room? Did you order off the menu? Were you getting food in the green
room? Yeah, I was getting food in the green room.
And you were tipping those folks.
Oh, my God. I'll just say this. I'll just name them. The Riot in Houston has a sandwich that is like a grilled cheese but it has spaghetti inside. it's so good. It's like
you got a spaghetti grilled cheese.
That sounds crazy.
Oh, is it spaghetti with marinara or just spaghetti pasta
with marinara?
It's a pile of noodles. A noodles inside of bread.
Is the bread like a garlic bread?
It's like a Texas toast.
It's like you're eating spaghetti and there's a side of bread. You just made a sandwich out of what's on the plate.
By the way, if it's a grilled cheese, it could be like essentially macaroni and cheese. No,
sir, do not try to defend your nonsense.
I am.
No, I'm not going to allow it.
It's not nonsense to put... Elliot
likes just plain ramen as well. He throws the sauce and the spice packet out.
you gotta have the marinara.
I mean, just because someone says spaghetti doesn't mean marinara. It's spaghetti with marinara.
Some people put butter on spaghetti. Those people are wrong.
It needs something.
It needs
you can't just eat up.
Well, cheese. It's a grilled cheese.
I would
rather
eat just plain spaghetti than have spaghetti with butter.
Needs a slice.
Whoa, really? Whoa. Yeah. That's the hottest take on this episode.
You want to hear the hottest take on this episode? You ready for it? Here's the hottest take on this episode. I saw the movie Here and loved it.
Whoa. Oh, I'm very interested in that.
Loved it.
Oh, my God.
No fucking around.
That's the one with the fixed camera,
that's
right?
The hottest take of the year.
That it really is. Honestly.
So loved it. And by the way, I can understand somebody watching it and going, I hated it. I loved
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
I love the graphic novel that it's based on.
Yes.
And I love Robert Zemeckis. Why wouldn't I love that movie?
People hate it.
I hate when cameras move around.
I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay. I definitely want
to
see that.
I will wait to see if that ends up as on a screener app.
I'll add this to the mix. I'm not a fan of this phrase that I'm about to say. I was snot crying.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Holy shit.
I could not catch my breath at one point.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was me at Past Lives.
Oh, yeah. Past Lives.
In the
Lives
theater.
Great.
Right?
Huh. My Jess asked me if I was okay. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine.
I like that movie.
Should we see it in the theater?
I think you're okay at home, but I think maybe it would have more of an impact at the theater.
My actual thought is that if I watch it at home, am I going to be like, all right, let me start doing the dishes or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So on that note, do you think I could use it as a screensaver?
Yes, I think you could.
Because I feel like that's what they've done. They've made a very expensive screensaver.
I'm going to say this. I think some of the trailer ruins the movie.
Oh.
I think that some things are out of context in the trailer that make you think it's a different...
Well, good news. I didn't really see the trailer.
It's. I think the trailer does it a disservice.
Robert Zemeckis is so good. Has the movies that he has made are so... It's such a good set of movies.
Are you like... Because I don't think I've seen the last few. Like, I didn't see that one where Denzel flies a plane upside down or whatever.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Flight?
It's great. That's a really good movie.
Okay. Well, what's he done since then?
Oh, Flight and Here. Yeah. But like,
one word titles.
I'm just saying, if Castaway's you lined good. Up the a Castaway.
Yeah. Obviously, Back to the Future, absolute banger, classic.
Roger Rabbit.
I like Roger Rabbit a lot.
These are...
Forrest Gump I don't like, but...
Death Becomes Her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know like if that one holds up.
Oh, it does.
Are you going to see that musical?
I'm going to be in New York at Thanksgiving time, but I will not be seeing that musical because of the way I only have a couple slots, and I got to see Oh Mary, of course.
I want to see that.
And then I'm seeing an 8-hour production called Gats by Elevator Repair Service. That is the what I've been told is someone comes out, opens a little book, and starts reading all of the Great Gatsby to you.
Yeah.
For 8 hours, and they act it out. It's supposed to be incredible.
And there's like two intermissions, right? There's like a lunch break.
And there's a dinner break.
Oh, a dinner break.
And then I'm seeing Kenneth Branagh as King Lear.
Damn.
And then I'm seeing maybe Happy Ending, the Darren Criss musical, which I've heard.
Oh, it's supposed to be incredible. Yeah. Yeah, I want to see that.
Well, good luck to you on that trip. Sounds
Wait, did you see Stereophonic?
Love Stereophonic. Saw it twice.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I've heard that the new cast is still getting their... sea legs under them.
Ah, safety first.
Did you hate it?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
I wanted
Again,
to.
I've told you this before. I you're either going to... I mean, I feel like you would love it, but you might just be like, fuck this.
I watch VH1. I get it.
I mean, honestly, you might feel that way.
I felt that way about what they showed me at the Tonys. It's I've seen this. But if it comes here, I will see it. There's no, I'm not going to fly there to see it. I'll tell you about that.
You should definitely come here because I think the actors in that... It's like whenever something goes to L.A., like when they brought Lehman Trilogy out here, it's like I think the actors are like, yeah, I want to do want to be in this hot play.
Yeah.
All the industry is going to come see me be in the and Stereophonic is this actor showcase.
Right. I think it's an Amundsen show, not a Pantages show.
Yes. Yeah. Or even a Wallace.
Could be a Wallace.
What about a Mark Taper?
Mark Taper.
Where you go that far?
I can't name it. Last thing I saw the Mark Taper.
It could be a Mark Taper. Last thing I saw there was Slave Play. It could be a Mark Taper thing there. Oh my gosh, that production of Slave Play. It's a fun play. It is a fun play. It's very fun. But there was a talk back afterwards, and in the talk back, a white man used the N-word.
Oh boy.
Whoa. It was just, and the crowd just like,
give us context, please.
With a hard R at the end?
Yes.
Like what did he say? Do not say the word.
No, I have to say now. it was a talk back and I was like, how do people feel about this? What were some of the issues that came up? And he said, you know, I really related to the main woman in the show because of this happened and this happened. And then, you know, she realized, and I actually don't disagree with the point he's making, but he said, she realized at the end that she really, really was an N-word. And it makes sense in the context of the play in terms of how the character sees themselves in relationship to racial dynamics or whatever. But he finished the sentence like that. The crowd just exploded. The moderator's like, no, 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 no.
Wow.
It was an amazing third act to the play.
That man's got to walk to his car.
Yeah.
Was he just like an old guy who was just totally oblivious?
He was an old LA guy that just, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was a guy that was like, you know, I marched in parades in the 60s.
I would have, yeah.
You know,
he didn't mean parades? It. He wasn't being racial.
He wasn't being racial, but he also felt he had the permission, like, to see that play and then be like, I could say this.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Very, very self-assured in his relationship to race.
Oh, my gosh. So entertaining, though.
That's crazy.
And that's what's important, is that I was entertained.
All right. Well, Garen, we are not, you have the con, so we're trying to match you. That means we move over to Indo. He's over there behind Video Village. That's Elliot Hochberg.
Whoa.
Elliot, what's going on with you and Irma? Anything exciting going on in your world?
So today, Irma went on a little trip, which I am signaling you an image so you can see.
Okay.
She was very excited about this. Now, I want to put a little bit of context. Imagine that I am in Indonesia trying to figure out my way around the city by myself, where almost nothing is going to be in English. Now flip that around. And so she went on a little journey to our Whole Foods, Jimmy. There was a like an exclusive thing. Wait, where
the Whole Foods near my house?
Correct.
Did she take the train?
Correct. She was a little worried about getting the directions correct.
Okay.
She didn't want to end up going the wrong direction and missing things. And apparently, like, the last place they were at, it's for a sauce called umami sauce. And she was very excited about it. And it's, what is this?
In particular, it's Kimono Mom.
Kimono Mom. So she's on Instagram, and I'm sure all the other platforms. And so wherever she was last, which I think was probably San Francisco, they sold out within 40 minutes.
Wow.
Oh. The sauce. So she was very excited. She wanted to get it. And so that was her adventure for today.
And she got to meet the Kimono Mom.
And she got to meet the Kimono Mom.
That's what the picture was.
I'm concerned that there's alcohol in it.
No, no, no. I think if you look, you'll see. Yeah, there's, it's non-alcohol.
Oh, okay. I zoomed in. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what? It's a fair question. And that's why, you know, we have to answer it.
What's funny in that picture is that it's Irma posing with the, I assume, the Kimono Mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And then behind them is a cardboard cutout of the Kimono Mom.
Yes, 100%.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought that was another woman until you pointed that out. And I thought, why does that woman think she's in the photo?
Yeah, because at first I saw the picture. I was like, oh, this is just someone they hired to sell the thing. Oh, no, that's her.
That's her.
Because she's right there.
Yeah, that's
Jimmy, you thought it was Ted Danson in the window of the Three Men and a Baby.
I did. I thought it was the ghost thing. Yeah. I thought, well, that's it. Oh, well, okay. Well, I mean, my problem with this is it's probably got gluten.
No. I think it's all right.
Okay, I see it now.
Yeah.
But you know what? My wife is a vegetarian. This is probably not good for her.
No, Jimmy. I think if you'll observe very closely,
yeah,
it's vegan.
Oh, it is.
Which actually is
there anything in this fucking sauce?
It's kind of surprising because Irma is a big proponent of beef.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and when we have a salad, she goes, "Oh, are we having plants?" So,
Oh boy, jeez.
You know, here's the thing about this. I would like it, but I don't like the idea that I'm just going to get it home and that's the first I'm giving it a shot.
No, Jimmy,
what?
You can taste before you buy.
Oh jeez.
So okay. This is all.
I have not seen anything in this photo. Apparently,
I don't like the idea that I wouldn't know what the person who made it, what they wear.
Yeah, it's right there in the.
It's right in the name, Chris.
It's right there in the name.
Okay,
she's Kimono Mom.
But I mean, is she a parent?
But has she given birth to a child? That's I can only eat things made by mothers.
Well, I hope she gets home safely.
No, she already has.
That's
returned home.
Is that one stop on the train?
Yeah, it's one stop on the train. This is the furthest that she's traveled in Los Angeles on her own.
A 1 minute train ride.
Yeah,
it takes longer to walk there.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it does.
From my house?
From your house to the train station?
Oh,
that train stop to the stop?
I misunderstood what you were saying.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I was looking at, there's a subreddit called like Ask Los Angeles or something.
Okay.
And somebody started a great thread. I love the idea of this. They were like, hey, people who moved here from other countries, if you have found this, what is the best restaurant in terms of doing the food from your country authentically? And one of the first things there was someone saying, I'm from Indonesia and there's a place in Culver City.
Sempang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've been there.
We haven't gone. Okay. She hasn't, like, she just came from Indonesia, so she has a lot of Indonesian food.
It's been
food.
Like 6 months.
Maybe. But we will go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Italian. I go to the Capri Club every Monday for the lasagna.
They do it right.
They do it right.
Meryl Streep says so.
What do you got for the movie?
All right, so
To match Garen.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. You have a lot of thoughts that I looked at the fans. I didn't think of the things they thought of. But I'm going with the first thing that occurred to me because I have no other... Because it's not horror, so I don't know what Garen will pick. So I'm going with Mystic Pizza.
Oh, the Julia Roberts vehicle.
Yes.
The Annabeth Gish vehicle.
No way.
Would that be considered a romantic comedy, maybe?
I think it's a drama.
Okay. I don't remember. I saw it so long
ago. I mean, it could be some storylines of it are. There's not a lot of comedy in it.
It's maybe some. Like, as much comedy as any drama that has a little bit of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, comic relief in it. Yeah. Okay.
But I remember it being more serious and heart tugging than I did, like, you know, Lover Boy with Patrick Dempsey.
right.
Is that Julia's first thing?
I think it is.
And when you, I don't know how recently you've seen it, do you watch it and go like, whoa, that's a star?
No.
She does fine.
She's just a working actress. Mm-hmm. It's an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember liking the movie a lot. Mm-hmm. But I didn't walk out of there going, I just saw the greatest new star in Hollywood.
Well, because like Brad Pitt in Thelma and Louise is like, holy shit.
Oh, who
is
that? I'll tell you this. I walked out of there thinking Annabeth Gish was going to be a huge star. Like, and she has a nice career. Mm-hmm. But that was my takeaway was this. She's going to be the breakout from this cast. Mm-hmm. And I clearly was wrong. I don't have an eye for such things.
it's based on a real pizza place that I drove by last year. I can't remember. I was in Mystic, and it was closed.
Oh,
so I didn't get to try the
pizza. Didn't get a slice. No. Chris, you're up next. What do you think Garen is thinking of with a movie with a drama that begins with the letter M?
I actually couldn't think of that many, but I think, I don't know. I feel like maybe Garen will go for this. I'm going to say Memento.
God damn it. That was my
second thought.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Pretentious?
Yeah, that's exactly. When you said, what's a pretentious thing he would do? That's exactly.
Because it's like, if I was getting a graduate degree in screenwriting, I'd read about this in my ivory tower.
Yeah. And then you get your patch that you proudly display on your wall in Van Nuys.
That's right.
Sherman Oaks. Matt, do you know the Turbo Show? Where do...
God, I hate all these...
I like my top two, and I thought they were both going to be taken. So now I'm going to get one of them.
I know you're going to have some shit that I'm like, oh, it's going to be so big and obvious. And I couldn't think of anything that was like on that level.
Oh, there really is. And I didn't think of them either.
But you thought of it later?
At least one of them I did. But then I looked at the fans thing and I saw what they came up with.
I'm literally sitting here right now trying to think of one on the spot, but I guess I should just go to my list of very obscure, stupid ideas. not obscure, but it's just, Garen would never say this. I'll say Manhattan, the Woody Allen movie.
Okay. The Woody Allen film, speaking of good people.
Yeah, he's great. the only other one I did think of was, there's no
I did
way
not say mine yet.
Okay, yes. Never mind. I'll bring it up later. But there's no way it's going to be on anyone's list.
This is my second choice.
Yeah.
Magnolia is my second choice.
That's a good one.
My number one choice is Misery.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
horror.
Man, fuck Garen. How is that horror?
I think it's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
But it's Stephen category. King.
So you're telling me that's a horror, so yes. I should not say that.
That is a horror.
If you're saying it's horror, I don't think it's horror.
I do think you should say Magnolia.
But I'm going to say Magnolia then.
I think that's a better guess.
I think Misery is the perfect guest for him.
Yes.
True.
Because it is, but I stand by it. It's not a horror movie.
I agree with you.
Magnolia is good,
though. But I'm going to say Magnolia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. Chris, what was your other one?
Men Don't Leave. I don't know what that is. It's like Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
I think she was nominated.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know anything about it.
I've also added The Maltese Falcon. Sure. Manchurian Candidate and Marathon Man.
Oh, another nice one.
I don't feel like Garen watches old movies.
No, he just keeps them sealed on a fucking wall.
Right.
And then brags about how he owns them.
What was your last one? It was newer.
Marathon Man.
Oh, that's not.
That's Hoffman newer. And Voight. Is that Voight? No.
It's Laurence of Olivier.
Laurence of Olivier.
Oh, okay.
So I had, other than Memento and Manhattan, I had Manhunter.
Yeah.
The original.
Came up earlier.
Hannibal Lecter movie. And Mo Betta Blues,
a
forgotten Spike Lee joint.
The first film I ever saw that had a jump cut in it, where they're like, where it's you and me talking. It cuts the exact same setup 4 seconds later. I was like, what's happening?
Huh.
Is that Manhunter the same as Red Dragon?
Mm-hmm. Red Dragon's a remake of Manhunter. Yeah.
Okay.
Technically, it's based on the same book.
Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us the fans.
Can I throw out a few first?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, I also had Made, but I think Made is a comedy, right? The Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a.
I think they were intending it to be a comedy.
Yeah. Ryan loves it. That's his favorite.
What?
Yeah, he loves Made.
Made? Is that where they get beat up more and more as it goes on?
I think so. Yeah.
That's like, to me, it's just Swingers Light.
It's follow up, right?
It's the follow up to Swingers, yeah. And Favreau, I think it was his directorial debut.
It's not a sequel, though. Max Dugan returns. No, no, no. No,
come on, Chris, take it seriously. What were your other ones?
So, Mermaids, is that considered a comedy? No.
That's the Cher film.
Yeah. So that was my third.
Yeah.
That might fall under comedy.
It's comedy drama. Yeah, it's in that No Man's
Wistful
Land.
Drama. Bob Hoskins is shirtless in it.
Okay. Then we got The Mize. So My Bodyguard, my favorite years of comedy, right?
I don't know. It's pretty heavy, man.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I know Mark Lynn Baker's comedic in it, but it's...
And then some people would call this a comedy, and I don't agree with them, My Dinner with Andre.
I would not call that a comedy.
But not really a drama, though. I mean...
It's a podcast.
It kind of is.
It is a podcast.
Yeah, it kind of is a podcast.
It's overrated. It's podcast. We agree on that? Is that something we could agree on?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, my favorite year is not on my list, and it sounds great. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's a great movie. Wonderful.
Yeah, you should see it.
It sounds really good.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
What is the year? It's like...
The year of that he's working at that program.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, so now I will do the thing.
Here's the fans.
Excuse me.
No, you don't. No way. Don't get nothing when you make. You know what else you don't need? Me commenting.
I was enjoying it.
Oh.
It's like pop-up video.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
What do the fans think of? I say uh-oh because I just got an email from our LPGA Fantasy Golf League from Ron with the updated player rankings. And if history's on his side, he fucked this up.
Uh-oh.
This is Ron again. God damn it.
Oh, Ron's the guy who fucking squirreled the moose?
And it said he flushed the mouse.
Flushed the mouse.
Squirreled the moose.
Squirreled the moose.
Yeah. Squirreled the moose.
That's a catchphrase from Around the Horn.
As Elizabeth pointed out, by the way, you can't spell wrong without Ron.
Wow. Nice.
Got him.
Which is perfect because Ron's a fucking dunce. Ron's the worst. Ron sucks. It's Lady Golf.
And Garen sucks.
Along with Ron. All right, go ahead. Give us a
chance. All right, so Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yep, that was a movie.
That's a movie with Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws. He could have thought of that because Garen loves the movie Jaws.
Sure.
Go ahead.
The aforementioned Manchurian Candidate.
Sure, I mentioned that.
That movie rules.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm. Then Magnolia.
Magnolia is a great movie. Had a great guest. Probably a better guest than movie.
I agree.
How would we evaluate that?
Yeah. Apples and oranges, but I'm with you absolutely.
Mac and Me. That's not a drama.
That was classic
sci-fi.
Drama.
That's sci-fi. Yeah, that's sci-fi.
That's sci-fi.
So then I'll bring in number 11, The Maltese Falcon, and then Morning, Noon, and Night. I'm not familiar.
Me neither.
I guess Misery we decided doesn't count. So then I'll go past The Maltese Falcon.
By the way, I'll say that one person decided it doesn't count.
He's the one picking. So
all right. So here's the good news: we know that Misery is up for grabs when we do a horror sci-fi next season.
There you go. True.
Okay.
Yes.
Wikipedia says it's a psychological thriller. So
which I agree with that.
I will say that I'm wrong.
Yeah,
we can consider
it. Just because Stephen King wrote it, don't make it horror.
No, I know that. It just it's the that. Hobbling scene.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it a horror.
To me, it does.
It's a horrifying moment. By the way, the reason you know it's not a horror film is because Kathy Bates won an Oscar for it, right?
Oh, that's your point. Yeah,
they would never do that for horror.
Silence of the Lambs, horror?
No, that's a thriller.
That's a thriller.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
Like, if
it's horror, you know, movies can be scary without being horror, right?
But I mean, it's scary and gory.
There's no Dracula.
I feel like
Wolfman, a psychological thriller.
Right? I feel like horror has to have something supernatural or superhuman.
I don't agree.
Oh, Psycho?
Yeah. It's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
Psycho.
Yeah, Psycho.
Psycho is a horror film.
Wikipedia says Silence of the Lambs is a psychological horror thriller film.
Hey, Wikipedia is never wrong.
They're splitting hairs.
Yeah. It's a very thin line.
I don't accept that explanation.
But I mean, Psycho not being a horror, I mean, I feel like it's definitive of the category in a way.
I agree. I mean, horror films come in a lot of different flavors, and one of them is Psycho.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
I guess, kind of defined
the genre for a while.
What is Texas Chainsaw? Is that a realistic? Because I haven't really
seen
it.
That's a family drama.
Is there any supernatural or superhuman in Texas?
No, but that's a horror film.
No, it's a horror film.
Yeah, all right. So
what about A League of Their Own?
Horrible. I don't think it is. I just wanted to make that joke.
Sure. I'm just going to throw Monkey
Speaking
Man
of which,
in.
When we do our nightly check-in before the night, see you at 10 a.m., coincidentally, I did a little clip from League of Their Own.
You did.
That's mine.
What clip?
Just a gif of Tom Hanks looking dumb.
A thing Eric and I say regularly in our house is some variation of John Lovitz going, well, that would be more. So like if I'm like, I'm going to do this podcast, I'll be home at 1:30 or something. And Eric will be like, well, I need the cart too. And I was like, well, I'll be at 1:30. And he'll be like, well, that would be earlier, wouldn't it? We're just a very obvious conclusion.
And we'll get you home in time for that. No question about it.
Yeah. By the way, Garen, did you enjoy my little contribution to that thread?
Oh, I didn't even see it.
What the fuck? It was for you.
It was for you.
Yeah, I just, when I ever say that, I never look at it.
You drop your phone into the ocean. And
Saren.
Let me play it because I was excited.
It was
about
very
it.
Much, it was for specifically for Garen Cockrell.
This is my new favorite YouTuber. It's this guy who just puts himself in the corner of clips
basketball?
Of. Yeah, it's Bronny James playing in the D League.
I love this YouTuber.
You know him?
I love, where he's like, what screams, are you doing? Yeah.
And so this is him.
What are you doing? You hedge on pick and rolls. Why are you driving him to the baseline? Nobody respects your three-point shot. You cut to the basket every time.
No.
What is JJ Redick doing? This is basic stuff.
I love
whoever's
it.
Teaching Bronny James the game of basketball needs to leave the game and never come back. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I love it. It's because it actually has like basketball knowledge in it too.
Yeah, he's really very fun. Knowledgeable, but he just screams the whole time. And the funniest part is he'll get to the end of a rant and then he doesn't cut the part out where he's like like he gets out of breath from his own rant and you hear it. It's so funny.
That's not, this is a stupid question because it's obviously not, but that's not the guy that yells at baseball players, right?
John Boy?
Is that the guy that goes blah 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 you bum? Oh. Every, it's very funny. It's very funny.
These
it's all
TikTok.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Where I find these.
Are you a John Boy fan?
I don't know who that is.
John Boy is the guy on YouTube.
Oh, no, I'm not.
You're
oh,
not.
Oh, okay. Is that the special player, special teams guy?
No, that's that? Like, isn't that like Skeech or something who then it turned out he had done gay porn?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know you don't like
what's that name again? Like
Screech.
Screech.
Screech is dead.
No.
Tap.
I forget what his name is. Scoot? Something like that.
I don't know. I just know that everyone was quoting that for
special
three,
team,
3 minutes.
Special player?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ellie.
Oh, Sketch.
Sketch.
Yeah, I like Sketch.
Oh, Garen's on board.
Only fans.
Go ahead, Ellie.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Ah, sure.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Of course.
Which one, though? Doesn't matter.
Mon Oncle.
Why is someone always putting a friend on there? Why do people
vote
for it?
They're interesting.
Is it getting voted up?
Well, yeah. Obviously, because it's number six.
What's morning, noon, and night? Why is morning, noon, and night getting votes?
I don't know what that is.
Higher than Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah.
I mean, if we go down a little bit, there's Monkey Man, Memento, The Mummy, Miller's Crossing, Marathon Man, Master and Commander, MASH.
Miller's Crossing.
Moon, Mommy Dearest. The Mask doesn't count. The Master, Matchstick Men, Monsters Ball. I don't know why I'm going all the way down there. Anyway, number one. Here's why. Yeah, well, no, this is solid.
This is number one.
Yeah, Marley and Me.
Oh,
what?
What is that? Is
the
that
dog
a,
film?
Is that a dog?
Because Garen has a dog.
People cry at that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Garen, let's hear your five dramas that begin with the letter M.
Number five.
Yeah.
It's a heartwarming story about a friendship. Mac and Me.
Mac and Me's at number five.
Yeah. Wow.
That's sci-fi, sir.
It is. It's
number five.
It's
number five.
It's number five. It doesn't matter.
And again, unwatchable.
Yeah. It is. I have it on Blu-ray. Number four.
You need to see that crisply.
Mad Cowgirl.
Huh?
Okay. Don't know what that is.
That is a movie that Walter was in that I worked on in 2006.
Oh,
whoa.
So you put on the list to talk about this?
Yeah, just to talk about it because I thought it was interesting.
That is not.
three.
You also could have said, like, I was going to say in this movie. And then here's my five.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
He chose not to. Not came in at number four.
Number three.
Yeah.
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Okay. So was Danielle in that or something?
No. That's a great movie.
I've never heard of it. But
it's
that's
really good.
That's my ignorance, I'm sure.
Well, it just came out this year, so.
Oh.
I'm not familiar.
I remember
seeing the poster now.
I think it's Guy Ritchie.
It's like a war movie.
We saw the trailer.
Right?
Oh.
It's great. It is a great, fun movie.
I like Guy
Ritchie. I wish that.
Wait a minute. I've seen it.
What?
I think Oliver and I went to see that.
Yeah. It's like a team of people who are infiltrating some thing or whatever.
It's a fun movie.
I generally listen and don't watch the video. Sorry, Elliot, but like I wish that audio listeners could experience Jimmy's face when that title was said.
A movie that it turns out he saw.
Yeah. I still think it doesn't belong in the five.
Yeah.
It's not his top five of all time. I recognize that.
It's still so random, though.
Yeah.
He's using it to be on a soapbox.
Yeah, his list sucks.
Number
sucks.
Two, The Majestic.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Is that the Joe Dante Carey
movie, right?
Yeah.
Jim Carrey?
Wait, no. That's Matinee, isn't it?
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm thinking Matinee. Oh, The Majestic was like Jim Frank Carrey Darabont or something.
Yeah. Yes. And number one.
And number one. Do we have a winner, Garen?
We do not have a winner.
Oh, we don't. With the great five, the great movies we all chose.
You asked me what my favorite movies of the year were, and I couldn't really articulate that because this movie is definitely in the top five.
Wait a minute. A movie that would make your top five of the year, 2024, that begins with an M. What'd you say?
Inside Out 2.
Yeah, is that?
Megalopolis. That's sci-fi, Garen.
It's not Megalopolis.
With an M. What movie came out this year that starts with an M that would be in the top five?
It has been casually mentioned.
Today?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh.
I will say one of the people in the movie is the hottest I think I've ever seen a human being.
What? I wasn't in a movie this year.
No, Chris. He's not talking about made-for-TV movies.
Oh, no. Is J. Keith going to bring this up? my ironic statement as an insult to me?
Yep.
With an M. What? I don't... Is it a drama? Well, obviously, that's the whole premise. Yeah.
If you say who the hot person is, it'll give it away?
It'll give it... Yeah.
Is it Mister with Glenn Powell?
No.
Name someone else in it that won't give it away, but like, but that will give it away?
Well, you can also give it away.
I'll say that this person is the star and the director,
and they're the hottest.
And they're the hottest person.
They are
hottest that they've ever.
They are breathtakingly sexy.
Have I seen this movie, Garen?
I think so.
A hot gentleman, one imagines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who's breathtakingly sexy.
And directed it.
He may have written it.
But it begins with an M.
I know he definitely directed it.
I don't know.
Huh.
No one.
No,
what do you got, Garen?
Don't look at me.
Monkey Man.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see Monkey Man.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, you got to see it.
I've heard very good things.
It's incredible.
Is this a John Wick type movie?
It's that vein.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's the star?
Dev Patel.
Yeah, and he did direct
it. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, I did see that movie.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, I saw that movie. Yeah.
Snake oil.
Good Lord. Yeah, I saw that movie. I liked it. I don't think I loved it like Garen did.
Did
I text you about it?
I don't remember.
Might have.
Speaking of Monkey Men, have you guys seen the trailer for that Robbie Williams biopic?
Yes.
It's about this. It's Robbie Williams' life story. Right. Robbie Williams from the boy band Take That.
But there's a monkey representing him.
He is played by a motion captured monkey man, for lack of a better term. The entire thing.
Why?
It's his life story. He's doing concerts. Everything's normal except he is a monkey.
I ask you again, why?
I don't know why.
There is a sex scene I've heard in this movie as well.
What? Oh, with a monkey?
I'm asking again, why?
I second that. Here.
I guess to be interesting. My take is that his life story isn't interesting enough on its own, so they need to do something.
Yeah.
But he was he's a rock star. He's a pop star. Like he probably had an interesting life. I don't know why this was necessary.
And again, Robbie Williams, while he's a star here, he is a star.
Oh, my God.
Everywhere else in the world.
He's much better.
He's kind of Kylie Minogue-ish in that way.
Yes.
But I think they're overestimating how much interest Americans have in him.
For sure. We don't have any.
Most Americans don't know who that is.
So they had to put a monkey in it.
They did the same thing with Pharrell. He wanted to be Legos, and I don't think anybody went to see that movie.
No, you're right.
I saw the posters for that, and I didn't understand what it was for.
That was maybe the worst idea in Hollywood history.
What was the premise?
It's Pharrell's life story, but made as a Lego movie.
Yeah, because right around your house, there's a lot of billboards and posters up your house.
And I thought maybe it was like a Lego promotional thing
me too.
Or an album.
That would have made more sense to just do it as like a 20-minute thing that you just put out in the world and it's promoting him and Legos, I guess.
More likely, I bet Pharrell has a studio down there and they put billboards up around
make him happy.
where you're going to drive.
Yeah.
Or is it
because they're like, hey, we're promoting it. We're really...
Yeah, because there's a lot around your house. Mm. A lot.
Mm. Well, is it
Apple?
Who makes it? That's what I'm saying. It must be one of the studios that are down there.
Yeah.
It's either Sony or... Who makes the Lego movies? Warner Brothers, right?
That's not down there.
Yeah.
We have Apple. It's Apple and
Amazon and Sony.
Sony, yeah.
Is there... There's an Apple Studios down there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right there.
Well, there's definitely a big Apple building. I wasn't aware that there were any places where they actually shoot
their podcast... thing used to be down there in Playa del Rey or whatever,
and HBO has got presence there as well.
Yeah, they all do. Making traffic a fucking nightmare.
Don't worry, Waymo's going to solve it.
Waymo does have a nest right there.
It slows it down.
Ugh, a nest.
I don't know what else to call it because they kind of all just kind of go in up the ramp.
It's the right word, but it's exactly... The reason it's the right word is because it gave me the creeps when you said it.
Yeah, right?
They're like little hornets.
Yeah.
We call them phantom cars.
Who do you and your friend Irma? Is that the fun you guys have?
Yes. You guys have little names for everything, don't you?
Yeah, we kind of do.
You guys gonna have some plants for dinner?
Yeah, probably.
You guys should start your own podcast.
I was on a Reddit subreddit called Ask Los Angeles, and a woman was like, "I'm stuck on the train. I'm trying to get to the Whole Foods.
Just looking for the kimono mom."
Hey, we got to get Chris home. Somebody else has to use the car.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, thank you for listening and subscribing. Don't forget, coming up, the link will be on our site. Coming up on December 3rd is the Giving Tuesday for Smile Train. You have a chance to both up for auction a couple of canvases from 2012 and 2013 Parkathons signed by the four of us, Elliot, Garen, myself, and Matt. So go on there. Of course, all proceeds go to the Smile Train Giving Tuesday event. So we're proud to be a part of that, as we are of our associates with them. And maybe, who knows how big those get? Maybe that'll push us over the 1.5 million that we are inching ever so closer to. But we thank you guys for listening and supporting. And don't forget, the sidewalk sale is still up and going. And I believe that's it, right? There was one more thing to... I felt like there was something else.
There's stuff in the plugs, but we'll do in the plugs.
And I've got my Zoom show coming up, and so check you guys out there if you want to join in. And, of course, my live show at Flappers, and Matt will tell you all about the details on that in the plugs.
We'll just say the next live audio stream is happening Wednesday at 10:30 a.m.
Pacific,
day before Thanksgiving. Really fun fan-favorite guest lined up, and you can listen in live and call us. We'll take phone calls.
Yeah. Those are always fun. all right. Have a great week, everybody. On behalf of the Pop Culture Music, there's Garrett Cockley. I'm Video Village. That's Indo. That's Elliot Hopper. The Honcho Matt Bell. And our great friend, Chris Grace. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.